ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You know what? You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax, my toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. We have stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. I'm going to talk about Bush's daddy this morning. And I'm going to talk about the reasons why we need to investigate Bush's war crimes. We're going to talk about that. And then in the next hour is, of course, the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Peter Downs is out of town. He is not going to be here with us today. However, we are going to have the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. We're going to be talking about a very difficult subject. Teen suicide. A student from the St. Louis Public Schools killed himself last week. And we're going to be talking to the director of the doctor and a director of People of Color Against Suicide. She will be joining us this morning to talk about teen suicide and, in particular, children of African descent and suicide. Also joining us will be school board member Donna Jones. So that's going to be a very important and compelling hour. St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Stay with us for that. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back.
General Manager of WGNU, I would like to take a moment to congratulate Liz Brown, winner of the 2006 award for Best Political Coverage Radio from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. Her discussion last January of the continued delay of government aid to victims of Hurricane Katrina is just another reason why we call it award-winning. Tune in weekday mornings at 6 a.m. to hear Liz Brown on the award-winning Wake Up Call, only on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Making a difference has never tasted so good. Find out for yourself by attending the Think Pink Breast Cancer Brunch on Saturday, November 18th from 10:30 to 12:30 p.m. at the West End City Apartments, 275 Union Boulevard. The keynote speaker will be Becky Olson, author and founder of the nonprofit organization Breast Friends. Admission is only $40, with the proceeds benefiting Coleman St. Louis. Get your tickets now by calling 314-423-2222, extension 251, or visit westendcityapartments.com for more details. And remember to think pink.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Seal.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
You want to know what you're going to get in me? Just a little touch of stock quality.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. Get up, get to me. Whew, let me look at this. There's an interview of Boy George's daddy. And here's the question that is asked of him. You are a letter writer. Tons of letters. Unlike his son that doesn't read letters. Unlike father. George's daddy says not anymore because I now use the email. The email. And the computer. Okay, I accept this from, you know, my grandfather, or I accept it from my elderly aunt. that they would not have the language down, the computer language down. I accept that because they aren't in it, okay? They still remember and long for the rotary phone. But the former CIA director, former vice president, former president, for him to be this disconnected and ill, unclear and confused in his language about his computer use is troubling. And again, you know, the nut don't fall far from the tree. Allow me to explain. I will read you specifically what George Bush's daddy said. Not anymore, because now I use the email. Okay? Who says that? The email. Secondly, and the computer. Huh? If you're using the computer and you're typing up letters and putting them on paper, you're using the mail. You don't use the computer and the email. If the sentence before that is, I've stopped writing letters. I find that I don't do near as much writing of letters as I used to. I don't save them. And I'm worried about that a little bit, not because I have much more to say, but I think it's too bad in a way that email will distract from the historical records of president. I don't think that the President Bush uses email. I don't think that he uses the pen. I don't think that he uses the dictionary. I don't think that he uses the thesaurus. I don't think that he uses the anything. Oh, I take it back. I think the only thing that the President Bush uses is the remote and perhaps the refrigerator door. Ain't that some stuff? I don't think that the President Bush uses email. Barbara Bush jumps in and says, he doesn't. He doesn't. George W. Bush's daddy. You worry about it. People are going to subpoena the email records, and we are going to, you know, you got to prove that you were telling the truth and all this stuff. How inconvenient that must be for the Bush family. I'm reading what he says. You've got to prove that you were telling the truth and all this stuff. I mean, it's gotten so adversarial that it's ugly, huh? You got to tell the truth? And that's another the thing your son doesn't use. The truth. Oh, it just must be something that you have to do the thing called the truth. Greta asked Boy George's daddy, why do you think it's gotten so adversarial? Tonight it is literacy. Everybody comes in from all different sides and wants to help. It seems like oftentimes in Washington, you know, on something we all want to work towards, it's not necessarily so civilized. It's not so pleasant. Boy George's daddy. It's true, but that's not really new. I mean, you go back in history and you'll find that there's always adversarial politics. There was always gut fighting. And it's probably a little worse now given the electronic media and the bloggers and all kinds of these things. Huh? The bloggers? It's the bloggers' fault that things have gotten so adversarial? Not like, oh, let me see. Dick Cheney refusing to allow American citizens to find out what kind of deals he cut, plans he made, practices that he put in place with his secret meeting of the energy companies in our White House? You mean kind of like that blogging attitude, blogging thing? You mean kind of like the secret shipping of people all over this world to secret prisons? kind of like that blogging act? Kind of like, oh, I don't know, the stealing of our government, the for sale sign that was put out in front of our government when the Republicans came into the majority and took control of the House and the Senate. And they refused to caucus with Democrats. You mean kind of like those blogging activities? One of the reasons that it is adversarial in Washington, D.C. is because it's honorable, largely, adversarial stuff. People should be up in arms duking it out when the vice president holds secret meetings with people that turn out 4 years later, 6 years later, to make the highest profits that they've ever made in the history of their company, in the history of the world, in the history of corporations. Ain't bad for one little meeting, is it? I'd like to have a meeting like that. How about you, Howard? You'd like to have a meeting like that where you become a billionaire 10 times over, 20 times over, after one little meeting with Dick Cheney? Ain't that some stuff? Boy George's daddy blames it on the bloggers. There's a pendulum at work. So you swing away from incivility back to more normal climate. Oh, kind of like what happened on Tuesday of last week. Is that the pendulum you're talking about? 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. I think that we have a whole lot of stuff to talk about. These are amazing times that we find ourselves in. And I am concerned that the things that we are hearing from our guest this on Monday, the executive director of the Democratic organization that was on Monday, Progressive Democrats of America. We have to understand, as citizens, the things that the battles that are constantly brewing. I feel that there was an empowerment from this election. I feel that most people do not believe that everything has been solved, or that even that a lot of things have been solved. But there is the empowerment that comes from the hope of an opportunity presented. There is an empowerment that comes from the opportunity, from the hope of an opportunity presented. There is an opportunity in this past election, and we must move with our empowerment. Progressive Democrats of America talked about how James Carville, who was a feckless Democrat who served with Bill Clinton, and Bill Clinton lost everything while he kept his presidency, but Democrats lost the governorships, the House, the Senate. And now James Carville is talking this extraordinary smack of, we need to replace Howard Dean with Harold Ford. That would be a DLC's dream of dreams. And understand that the things that are going, that there is a battle going on within the Democratic Party, within the Democratic mind, within the Democratic heart, of what type of Democrat should be in charge. And I think we've all seen what happens when Bill Clinton Democrats control. They don't get the House. They don't get the governorships. They don't get the Senate. and they set the stage for losing the presidency. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sudafed PE. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 44 at Soccer Park and 270, no problems report there. Northbound 270 has congestion on either side of 44. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 270, look for normal traffic. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and 270, look for congestion there. Westbound 270 between 367 and New Florissant, look for normal traffic. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge is slow from the Illinois Bank of the River on in. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well from the Illinois Bank into Laclede's Landing, and northbound Route 3 looks good at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sudafed PE. Sinus misery, get Sudafed PE. The medicine in Sudafed PE is clinically shown to relieve all nasal congestion in minutes. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Windy and rainy today, high around 45 this evening. Look for windy, blustery conditions even, and rainy, the low is expected to be around 30. For Thursday, breezy, partly cloudy, high around 40. Thursday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 30 as well. And then on Friday, partly sunny, the high is expected around 50. Currently, we have 46 and cloudy conditions. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, all at 3425 Union. That's right, 3425 Union. Sears, where else? You know what? Get on over there, get your shop on, and tell them I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Through Good Turn for America, be a hero in your community. No experience necessary. Team up with volunteers from the Boy Scouts and Habitat for Humanity to build homes for deserving families. Log on to goodturnforamerica.org to make a difference.
This is Esther Wright, General Manager of WGNU. I would like to take a moment to congratulate Liz Brown, winner of the 2006 award for Best Political Coverage Radio from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. Her discussion last January of the continued delay of government aid to victims of Hurricane Katrina is just another reason why we call it award-winning. Tune in weekday mornings at 6 a.m. to hear Liz Brown on the award-winning Wake Up Call, only on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
This is Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU.
Scientists have discovered a way to reanimate dogs that have been dead for 3 hours. They fill you up with salt. They season you is what they do. It's a marinade, for lack of a better way to put it. So I guess realistically speaking, they could do this in China, right? So they fill the dog full of salt water. If it doesn't work out, the dog dies. Hey, you know, it's General Chow's chicken in the end. It all works out. Something about the zombie dog where you put salt water in them, kill them, and then revive them hours later, and the idea that it's intended for human trials. Who would volunteer for that?
Brett Rosen, Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. on WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
as fools one's mother's light. One shifts from left to right. Politics, the art of the possible.
Politics, the art of the possible. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get up. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Well, good morning, Liz.
Morning.
Yeah, just a couple of things briefly. First of all, I hope that Spruce keeps his license, Craig Spruce, over there because of the fighting and killing. But anyway, I wanted to talk to you about the replacement of Dean on the Democratic National Committee. I hope he keeps his job. I like Congressman Ford, but I don't think it's time to replace Dean. It would be just like Dick Vermeil being replaced by Coach Marks with the Rams. You saw what happened there. The Rams never never won another Super Bowl after they replaced Dick Vermeil. So I don't.
But the other part of the conversation is that there has to be a discussion of how much, not simply that the person should not be replaced in midstream, but the person with whom they are attempting to replace him, it's a ridiculous choice. It is an absolutely ridiculous choice to put in as the head of the Democratic Party, the DNC, a person who ran against what the party stands for, who ran against who ran against other Democrats in order to attempt to become the United States senator. That would be a ridiculous choice to put somebody as the head of the DNC that voted for the bankruptcy bill, who voted for keeping or not having the estate tax cut, who voted for the war enthusiastically, who voted for building a wall on the border of Mexico. It would be a ridiculous thing to put in charge of the Democratic Party an extreme conservative, almost Republican, Republican-like Democrat. That would be ridiculous. And that is who Harold Ford is. When you look at his record and look past the color of his skin, you find a record that is a right-wing, conservative, anti-democratic, and really, really Republican-like.
Well, he comes from a state that is conservative, so.
Well, that doesn't mean that. So that doesn't doom you. You come from a state that is conservative too. You come from a red state. Does that make you red? Hello.
Well, no.
All right. Well, then that's no excuse. That is no excuse.
Well, he's trying to appeal to the conservative core.
And prostitutes have a definition. Have a defense of prostitution as well. The question is what are your values? And are you saying on the one hand, I'm just saying this to get elected? Why would I elect you if your platform is, I'm just saying this so I can get elected? Do you believe what you're saying so that in order for me to be able to assess you as a viable candidate, I have to take you at your word. And if your word is, just don't mind what my words are, just trust me, put me in office and I'll do differently, how on earth would it make sense for any adult person over the age of 21 to vote for such nonsense? You say what you are, and I believe that Harold Ford is who he says that he is. I believe he believes those things. Otherwise, he's a liar. Which one is it? Are you comfortable with either one of those?
Well, he's probably what he is.
He is what he says he is. And that means that he does not deserve, it would be a stupid self-inflicted wound for the Democratic Party to put him in charge of the Democrats when he represents more Republican ideology than he does Democratic ideology. Indeed, he ran against Nancy Pelosi. He ran against Nancy Pelosi in his campaign to be Senator of the United States, or Senator of Tennessee. So why would you put somebody like that in? And in a position of power like that?
All right.
Thanks for your call, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And if you don't forget, the wake-up call is archived every day at whiterosesociety.org. So if you've missed an hour, go get your hour. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. Don't forget, in the normally on Wednesdays we have St. Louis Public Schools Watch, and today is no exception. In the next hour, only we're going to be taking a look at teen suicide. One of our babies killed himself last week, and we're going to talk about that. Our guest is the CEO and chairman of People of Color Against Suicide. She will be joining us to talk about why are our babies, particularly African babies, are killing themselves, and what you can do to spot it, what you can do to help with it. You don't want to miss that hour. That's next hour on the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call, William.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Liz, I don't know if I was the only one paid any attention to this, but post the election, I've noticed that a lot of people who consider themselves to be Republicans on the radio, who espoused Republican ideologies, called George W. Bush a liberal in his ideals, in his spending, and all of his functions. But before the election, they were right behind him. He was our boy. Have you noticed that?
Well, one of the things that I've talked about on the show is what Rush Limbaugh said after the election. And he said that after the election, instead of feeling sad about coming on to have to talk about it, Rush Limbaugh said that he felt liberated because he no longer had to carry the water of Republicans and their ideas, Republicans he didn't support and ideas that he wasn't behind. So it is not surprising that other right-wing talk show hosts are following the lead of Rush Limbaugh and coming out and attacking Boy George. They lost, and now they feel like, well, I'm going to try to get some credibility. Also, there's another interesting fact that has come out. The numbers, Bill O'Reilly's show has lost 15% of its viewership since Election Day, and it continues to decline. So they've got to try to find some way to keep up an audience, and they figured it out that maybe people will listen to us if we tell the truth about, or we start to pretend like we're telling the truth about Boy George.
This gets into my next aspect of what's going on in this country. You have people like Rush Limbaugh and O'Reilly who have fanned the flames of racism, who have fanned the flames of separatism throughout this nation. And before the election, they were riding hot. But once they found out that most of Americans don't agree with what they believe in, now they're going to start changing their perspective. I don't believe they're changing their perspective one iota. I don't believe they're changing their ideology, not one bit. I believe that before the election they spoke their hearts, and now that the American people have spoken out, they're trying to tuck their tails between their legs and say, oh, well, that's not what I truly believe.
That's exactly what you believe. You know what? The prostitution, you don't get into it with your heart, okay? You get into it to make money. These guys, I believe the racism piece of it, sure, that comes from the heart. That's old school, okay? That is who they are. That stuff comes out naturally. But in terms of carrying water, like Rush Limbaugh said, they're carrying water for folks. They don't believe that stuff. They're carrying water for it. They believe in the racist component of it, that they believe in the unearned privilege component of it. But insofar as the individuals and all that stuff, no, they don't. They're prostitutes.
And
you know? They ain't in it with their heart.
What you're saying is they carry water for a particular party or a particular idea and let the United States be damned. That's what they're doing.
They ain't in it with their heart. They ain't in it for the money.
Okay.
And the prostitute isn't worried about the man's wife, family, or children. They in it for the money.
Take care, Liz.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. Gene.
I heard you love African children so much, you're going to adopt one like Madonna.
I am going to adopt one like Elizabeth Brown. I don't pattern my life out of after any person that's in the music
industry.
When are you
going to do it?
I'm doing it this year.
You going to Africa to get the child?
No, I'm going to St. Louis, Missouri to get the child.
Okay, we'll be looking forward to hearing about that.
We will see how much you hear about it.
Okay.
Anything else?
Well, the school thing was coming up, and I just wanted to know if that was true or not. That's the rumor that's going around.
Wanted to know if what is true?
That you were going to adopt an African child.
Oh, okay. Well, have you gotten the answer to your rumor mongering?
Well, we'll see.
Okay. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Well, that guy's an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
But if you did adopt a child, whatever race they be, I would support you because all kids need to have love.
Fact.
Yep. So that's nothing to be dogging somebody out about. Let me ask you something about Rudy Giuliani. He's trying to run for president now, and he has some of his platforms that the media is saying is of a liberal ideology. Such things like being for abortion and some other platforms. Yeah. What are some of his platforms, Liz?
His platform in terms of the problem that Rudy Giuliani is going to have, and I read an article yesterday about him. He compared Boy George to Winston Churchill.
Uh-huh.
And the problem that Rudy Giuliani is going to have in a party that defines itself as conservative, in a party that says that their issues are based gay marriage. He is pro-abortion. He also endorsed Mario Cuomo against instead of Pataki. So with respect to the Republican Party, Rudy has a lot to have to prove.
And you know what? I think if his handlers, if he does get any traction, all those stances are going to change because he's going to try to get elected. He's going to move toward a real conservative bent because he was the mayor of New York, which wouldn't stand for those type of things if he did come out for him. So now he's going to try to move toward the center. And I don't think it's going to work.
And let us not forget, if you are the party that defines itself as the party of morality, how do you get past Rudy's ugly, nasty, awful, immoral divorce of his wife?
Right. I think he's been married, what, 3 times?
Oh, and that's not it. The fact, remember how he moved the other woman into his wife's house before the divorce was over with.
And check out some of these people that got run. Newt Gingrich. I mean, this is a guy that I think he's
hope he does.
He tried to get her to sign some divorce papers at a deathbed.
I hope he runs.
I mean, this is. But we had said that George Bush is going to be the worst thing for America.
Fact.
Hitler. But he's turned out to be the best thing for the Democratic Party since Bill Clinton.
Thanks for your call. Well, we're going to take a break, folks. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
WGNU. I would like to take a moment to congratulate Liz Brown, winner of the 2006 award for Best Political Coverage Radio from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. Her discussion last January of the continued delay of government aid to victims of Hurricane Katrina is just another reason why we call it award-winning. Tune in weekday mornings at 6 a.m. to hear Liz Brown on the award-winning Wake Up Call, only on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Like I'm invisible.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call, Luther. 1-877-920-WGNU. Andrew.
Morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I was wondering what the number was to call for the Wake Up Call, the band you were talking about yesterday.
Proposition Funk?
Yeah.
367?
Hold on. 367. 2743. 2743, and that's for, to speak on the Wake Up Call, right?
Huh? I'm putting together a band for the Wake Up Call. Proposition Funk. And I'm talking to folks about it, and if you would be interested, you can call that number at 367-2743. The meeting will be tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
Okay, thanks.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Liz Brown.
Fella on the car phone.
Yeah, I told my brother about your band. He's supposed to contact you.
Okay. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I wanted to, it's kind of... I haven't called since the election, and I want to say I was happy that the Democrats knocked the clowns out of office. But that's not good enough, Liz.
It's not.
A whole list of things that need to be responded to. You know, going all over, starting with the war, starting with 911, starting with Dick Cheney, Wolfowitz.
Wait a minute. Don't we start home first? Can we say the K word? Can we say Katrina?
Well, and you're absolutely right, Liz. You're absolutely right. But the smoke screen, I think, if these people don't stand up, and first of all, get rid of that clown in office and take care of the people who were complicit with the 911 investigation, take care of the people who... put us into this condition in this war. We got all of these people over here that's dead. I mean, when is America going to realize that you just can't go around and bully people. And you just can't make up reasons to go to war. Oh, we're going over there to give them democracy, huh? How can you go around the world and say we're spreading democracy, and the way you go about doing it is killing people?
Mm.
When are we going to get tired of going around the world? I mean, it just amazes me when I sit up and listen to these people talk. And they want to act like they're so holy. Oh, we're so moral. We're so this. Huh? Since when is moral killing people? And that's all that's happening in Iraq. And it had nothing to do. We knew in 91 that Saddam Hussein couldn't do anything with America. If we would have told him not to go into Kuwait, he wouldn't have went in there.
Fact.
But they ignored that. And then these people sit up there and say, oh, the chemical weapons with the Kurds. Well, they didn't know anything about weaponizing those chemicals, America, until you went there and showed them and taking care of the Iranians. Now you want to bring the wrath of America on Iran, who's trying to live. They're not trying to go around the world and create havoc. They're not mischief makers. They're just reacting to what's happening to them. And when are we as Americans going to realize that the mischief maker, the number one mischief maker, is Israel? And we're close.
Well, and Israel wouldn't be where Israel is but for our money.
Absolutely. And how many people realize that we paid $10,000 a family to move those people from the Gaza Strip? Coming from America, people, that's our money. Money that we could have been using in this country to put our people back to work. And when are these people going to quit sending our jobs overseas? America, we need our workers here. And these people in this country want to work. Our manufacturing jobs need to come back. And if our Congress and our Senate and our President can't bring them back to our country, then guess what? They need to go.
Thanks.
And I don't give a damn who they are, whether they're Democrat, Republican, Independent. If they're not looking out for we the people, they need to go.
Thanks for your call.
Have a live.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Vile.
Good morning, T.
Hey, I just wanted to just acknowledge that the gentleman was talking about democracy. I can see why places like Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran don't want our type of democracy, because if you look at it, it brings short skirts, pornography, child molestation. You see what the preacher does?
Wait a minute. Short skirts?
Maybe I threw that one in that by mistake. But, you know, they're moral. They don't want to see all that. You know, and look what it did. I grew up on Father Knows Best. You can't find a show like that for my kids to watch.
Well, your kids don't need to be watching Father Knows Best because it don't look like their father.
Sure don't. You are so, Liz, don't be checking me this morning. I don't have my act together yet. It's early. Girl, don't do me like that. But this gentleman, he is correct. These other countries read our history book. We went out and took a man out of office. Just like Manuel Noriega, right before we went and got him, we had gave him accommodations for helping us with the war on drugs.
Wouldn't that be a lovely interview to have, to sit down and talk to Manuel Noriega about what went down?
Oh, boy, look, they got him in isolation.
They have him in Guantanamo somewhere.
Yeah, locked down then, because he will tear off on Daddy Bush.
Or he's not in jail at all.
What do you think he is?
Some island somewhere, kicking it.
Well, I heard Osama bin Laden is in Phoenix. Look at Phoenix. Look in the mountains of Arizona, y'all. Have a good day, man.
All right. No Father Knows Best.
No, definitely not that.
All right. All right.
Bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. In the next hour, we're going to be doing the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Our topic this morning is teen suicide. One of our babies took their lives last week. And we're going to be talking about why babies do that. Particularly our African babies. Why do they do that? We're going to be talking to the CEO, the founder of
People of Color Against Suicide. She's going to be joining us for a discussion this morning. And Donna Jones, also a school board member, will be joining us this morning as well. Stay with me.
Time for us to use our power. For power, nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution through the air. Feel me, brother. Stop resisting.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Get ready. Here it comes.
This is KidsCast.
News for kids,
by kids.
KidsCast is brought to you by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse.
Reminding you that underage drinking can have dangerous consequences.
Visit us online at KidsCastRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Susanna Pinkley. Have you ever been to the KidsCast website online?
If so, that means you spend time on the internet. That's great for playing games or learning new things. But there are some things every kid should know to stay safe while online. Coming up, here are internet safety tips. Don't go away.
This is your KidsCast brain teaser. How big are raindrops? To find the answer, head to our website at www.kidscastradio.com.
Bet you didn't know this!
If you have a 4-year-old brother or sister, you may often be tempted to ask them to be quiet. That's because the average 4-year-old asks more than 400 questions a day. Bet you didn't know that.
Well, be back with more KidsCast after this.
Drinking alcohol is a dangerous thing for teenagers to do. You can lose control of your actions and do things you wouldn't normally do. Sometimes you might not even remember what you did do. Your health and your life are put at serious risk. Please remember that the decisions you make now will affect the rest of your life. Be smart. Choose not to drink.
A message from the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, working for healthy bodies, safe communities.
Lighters are not children's toys. They are tools for grown-ups. They are not made for girls and boys.
More than 90,000 fires a year in the United States are started by children curious about fire, and 3,000 of them are injured every year by fire play. Teach your children that matches and lighters are tools for adults and not toys.
They can start a fire, blazing fire that destroys.
This is a KidsCast joke of the week. What do you call a fairy that hasn't taken a bath? Stinkerville.
Are we there yet?
Are we there yet?
Are we there yet?
Are we there yet?
Games kids can play in the car.
One Person Hums or Sings a TV theme song. It could be something like SpongeBob SquarePants or The Simpsons. Whoever guesses correctly gets a point and gets to come up with the next song. The most points win.
Thank you.
try again. The internet has all kinds of interesting things to see and do. That's why people spend so much time on it. But not everything online is safe. Here are some tips every kid should follow to stay safe while surfing the web. For starters, never give out your personal information unless your parents or teachers know what it is you're doing. Most websites don't need your name, phone number, or address, so it's okay to be suspicious and ask for help if they do. Also, never send a picture of yourself online to people you don't know. Next, talk to a grown-up anytime you read or see something online that makes you feel uncomfortable. You may have stumbled upon something that needs to be removed from the internet. Don't always believe what you read. Since you can't see them, it's probably not a good idea to communicate with strangers online. They may not actually be whom they say they are. It's better just to stick with your online friends that you've met in person. You should never try to meet someone you don't know that you've contacted online, because that can be dangerous. Remember, it's better to be safe than sorry. Finally, always get permission before you download or install anything you find online. It could possibly hurt your computer. For more online safety tips, visit the KidsCast website at www.kidscastradio.com. Then, visit this fun and safe site.
Any kid who likes writing or reading stories or poems will love this site. It's the Young Writers Club. They'll help you get started in writing by giving you topic suggestions or letting you read what other kids have written. Plus, you can make new friends with what they call key pals, sort of like pen pals on the web. Go to our website and head for the links page. This is Logan Morris reporting for KidsCast.
That's it for this week. I'm Susanna Pinkley for KidsCast. Adios!
KidsCast is brought to you by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse,
reminding you that underage drinking can have dangerous consequences.
Visit us online at KidsCastRadio.com.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
This update of WGNU News is brought to you by Advil. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, an Illinois Marine pleaded not guilty to charges in the death of an Iraqi man. Trent Thomas of Madison, Illinois, entered a not guilty plea yesterday to murder and other charges. Thomas and seven others are accused of kidnapping Hashim Ibrahim Awad earlier this year, planting clues to suggest he was an insurgent, and then shooting him to death. Three of the eight have pleaded guilty, and one has already been sentenced to a year in prison. And authorities are looking for a suspect in two North County bank robberies. The suspect is wanted for a holdup at Regions Bank in Spanish Lake Monday and another robbery at the Arsenal Credit Union in Florissant last week. He's described as an African-American man between 30 and 40 years old, about 6 feet tall with a slim build and a well-trimmed beard and wearing glasses. Anyone with information is, of course, encouraged to contact authorities. And that's a WGNU news update for this hour, brought to you by Advil. You don't need different pain relievers for different pains wherever you hurt. Advil works, the every pain reliever. I'm Peyton Colston with this hour's update of WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by TomTom. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and 79 expect slow traffic. Eastbound 44 at Merrimack River and 270 slight delays. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and 44 will look for slow traffic in pockets. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 270 delays are possible. Westbound 270 from New Halls Ferry to through Washington Elizabeth, look for heavy delays there. And all your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge as well as into downtown, you can expect delays. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by TomTom. TomTom Go is your portable everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, windy and rainy, a high around 45 today. This evening, look forward to blustery conditions, and rain is likely throughout the evening hours with a low around 34. Thursday, breezy and partly cloudy, a high around 40. Thursday evening, partly cloudy, a low around 30. And Friday, not quite as cold, partly sunny, a high around 50. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 46 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 46 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. Take another look at your WGNU traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Welcome. This is Liz Brown. Normally, Peter Downs joins me for St. Louis Public Schools Watch, but today we are, Peter will not be with us, but we will be covering a very important issue. Just a little over a week ago, a high school student took their life in the St. Louis public schools. I wish I could say that this is the first time that this has happened, but it is not. Teen suicide is a growing problem. But as a person of African descent, I am also disturbed by the growing numbers of children of African descent, males, are taking their lives. We need to talk about this, and to facilitate that conversation, I have joining me from Washington, D.C., Dr. Donna Barnes. She is the founder and president of the National Organization for People of Color Against Suicide. Dr. Barnes, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you so much for having me on your show to talk about such a very important topic.
It is a very important topic. And before we get to our first break, can you give us some of the statistics of teenagers of African descent and suicide?
Well, suicide is the third leading cause of death among African American males between the ages of 15 and 24. this is after accidents and homicides, but we question those accidents and we question those homicides, we think the rate is actually higher because black males are the least likely to go for help if needed, the least likely to stay and help if they do go for treatment, and the least likely to comply to treatment. So we really do have a serious problem of untreated depression in our community.
And when we look at the rates of suicide and compare them, young men of African descent and young white males, the numbers are quite startling, aren't they?
The difference between the two rates?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, they're startling in some areas. In some areas, they're just about equal. In some, the black males will surpass. I know in the state of Indiana, the rate of suicide among African-American males is slightly higher.
Now anecdotally, within the community of African descent, it's understood that suicide is not something that we do as a people.
Right, exactly.
And so is that true? Is this a recent phenomenon?
No. In fact, Dr. Passant out of Cambridge, Massachusetts at Harvard University wrote a book, Lay My Burden Down, Unraveling the Mystery of Suicide in the African American Community, and he contends that we've been doing it all along. We just never recognize it as suicide. We do it in other ways, such as homicide. If someone threatens you and says, if you do this, I'll kill you, and then you go and do it, that's really, you know, questionable whether it's a homicide or a suicide. And we engage in risky behavior. A lot of your young males who are in gangs don't think that they're going to live past 21, and they continuously engage in risky behavior. A lot of that is suicidal behavior.
We're going to take a break. I'm talking to Dr. Donna Barnes. She's the founder and president of the National Organization for People of Color Against Suicide, joining us from Washington, D.C. This is a special edition of St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
NBC Tonight on The Biggest Loser at an earlier time, 8, 7 Central. It's time for a makeover and a meltdown.
It's not fair. Just send me home now.
Then, at 9, 8 Central, the 2-hour premiere of Medium. Part Supermom.
Rose Brooklyn!
Part Supernatural.
You know, you didn't walk into this room alone.
She sees what the police can't.
We shot the wrong guy!
Biggest Loser and the premiere of Medium, NBC Tonight.
Rush to Office Depot for amazing deals this holiday season. This week only, Office Depot has 20% off all digital camera and printer bundles. Start your holiday shopping now with top brands and low prices on LCD and plasma flat screen TVs, camcorders, computers, and MP3 players like the new Zune. Office Depot has the latest technology for everyone on your list. Office Depot, taking care of business and the holidays. Available in-store only. Discount excludes clearance items. Quantities limited. All supplies last.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers, and we at Connect Care want you to know that sometimes change can be good. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Connect Care is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of Connect Care's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At Connect Care, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At Connect Care, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Time you let me know what's real and going on below, but now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah, hallelujah.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake-Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. This morning, we are talking about teen suicide. My name is Liz Brown, and my guest this morning is the founder and president of the National Organization for People of Color Against Suicide, Dr. Donna Barnes. She's joining us in from Washington, D.C., and welcome back, Dr. Barnes. When we talk about suicide within the community of African descent, you've written an article that talks about that there are some paradoxes to that. Can we talk about some of these paradoxes?
Oh, let's see, that article was written about 2 or 3 years ago. Refresh my memory.
Well, one of the things that you talk about is the way that we measure suicide with African women, with black women, that they are, that African American women are as likely to attempt to commit suicide as European women, but they are less likely to complete it.
Right.
Can you talk to us about why that is?
Well, yeah, African-American women have the lowest rate of suicide. And in that article, we pretty much express the fact that's a mystery, because we seem to have more social ills than anyone else in any other population, but yet we don't get to that level of hopelessness that will cause us to want to complete suicide. However, we do have attempts as high as anyone else.
And when we talk about men of African descent, it's different.
Right. Exactly. They have the higher rates and seem to one of the things, women are more likely to seek help. Their help-seeking behavior is a lot different than the African American male.
And just the socialization of women, just the societal allowances for women to seek help.
Right.
That women are relational,
and they don't mind asking for help, and then it's accepted more when women go for help. Whereas men have that macho sort of phenomena where they just need to be in control, the provider, and they can't show any signs of, quote, weakness, unquote, because they do view help-seeking behavior as a weakness and a character flaw, and that's so not true.
Is that a double weight for men of African descent, young men of African descent?
Definitely. It's a double stigma.
And so when what are some of the signs? How would a parent, because it was devastating to the parent of the teenager that killed himself in high school in St. Louis Public Schools this last week, what are some of the signs that a parent or a teacher can look for when assessing the mental state of one of their students or their child?
Oh, boy, there's so many signs, and it really depends on the situation. Let's say that the student was a straight A student, and then suddenly the grades fell, then you need to question that. Anytime their behavior in any way changes, or their performance changes, or their adherence to responsibility and commitment changes, then you need to question that. You need to be very sensitive when you're questioning that, and not think that they're just following up. Not think that they're just not doing what they're supposed to do and they're being irresponsible. Question it in a very sensitive way to find out what's going on with them. People just don't change like that for nothing. Nothing happens for nothing. There's a reason why their grades might have dropped. There's a reason why they might not be showing up for class. There's a reason why they might not be getting up in the morning and committing to all of their responsibilities.
And are there some other things that parents or teachers can look at? Okay, grades have changed. They're not getting up in the morning. Are there some words that they can be saying?
Yes, their speech. Their coded messages, like always talking negative, always saying, I keep following up, I can never do anything right, nobody really cares, or people would be better off without me. All of these negative statements are coded message, verbal messages that they're giving you because, first of all, nobody wants to die. But oftentimes they'll get into that mode where they think death is an option. So they're operating with a living side and a dying side, especially when they're in a suicidal crisis. And everything that happens to them seems to support the dying side. And when they begin thinking that, okay, suicide is an option, and they start thinking about a method, that's when they become desperate, angry, sad, guilty, all of these emotional feelings. And when they get to those emotional feelings, they're giving us messages all the time. We just need to be educated enough to know how to pick up those messages.
Okay, so the mother or the father hears their baby say, well, y'all would be better off without, or things would be better if I wasn't here. Do you give him a brownie? Do you give him a hug? Do you take him to the doctor? What are some of the things that parents are supposed to do, or teachers?
You say, let's talk about that. And you just made a statement that concerns me. Let's talk about that. And do it in a very sensitive way. Again, they don't want to come out and say these things directly because they're afraid of how they're going to be judged, or they're afraid that you're going to think less of them. And that's going to make them feel even worse because they already feel bad enough that they're thinking this. And so they don't want to be chastised for having those thoughts when they really can't help themselves. Because what they're doing is they're suffering from a psych ache. People suicide when life becomes meaningless. That's the basic bottom line. When life becomes meaningless, that's when they start thinking of suicide. Now, it's the pathways that lead to that thought process that we need to sort of try to figure out so that we can prevent suicide.
And the pathways that lead to it.
Could be a number of variables. It's very multifaceted, very complicated, because you could take someone from a very well-to-do family with a mother and father, church going, they're in church, everything is fine, but yet they might suicide, and it's like, what did we do wrong? We thought we were doing everything right. Or you may take somebody in an unprivileged area where everything is not going wrong, and they suicide, and then you can sort of draw some conclusions. Well, maybe it was poverty, lack of opportunity, unemployment, kicked out of school. So it's A plus B does not equal suicide. Every case is different.
And that's what your article about the paradoxes about suicide is, because if the fact that if some studies show that the coming from a single parent home means that there's a greater likelihood of suicide, then why aren't more children of African descent killing themselves? Because there are some numbers that of children that are in that situation.
That's right. Now we say 90% of those who complete suicide are suffering from some form of a mental disorder such as depression. Depression is the leading cause of suicide, but yet we have so many people who suffer from depression that don't kill themselves. So we have to take a lot of things into consideration. Let's suppose it could be depression. That would be one. It could be a recent loss, like a breakup with a very close friend, a loss of a parent, a loss of an uncle that they were very close to. It could be a failure in school. And what you do is you start adding up those risk factors. It could be impulsivity. It could be gun availability. And especially gun availability, when you look at high school students, high school kids are very impulsive. They're very impulsive. Oftentimes they don't stop to think about the future or the results. Right, the mm-hmm. consequences of what they're thinking.
Well, that's the definition of a child.
Right. And so this is why we have such high rates. That's why the rates of suicide among African-American males increased between those ages more than any other age.
When we look at the manner in which men of African descent, young men of African descent, commit suicide, is there a consistency there?
The leading method is guns.
Is there something unique in the way that, that men of young men of African descent killed themselves that is particular to them?
No, no, not really. You mean the method?
Yes, by the method.
No, not really. It the leading cause of suicide, the leading method of suicide across all cultures is basically guns.
1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. This is the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. This morning we're having a conversation with Dr. Donna Barnes. She is the founder and president of the National Organization for People of Color Against Suicide. She is joining us from Washington, D.C. We are talking about the issue of young people of African descent committing suicide. Stay with us. We're taking a quick break. We'll be back to take some of your questions, calls, and comments.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Eastbound 70 at Dumbbell, there's an accident. Left lane blocked. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road, 279. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 44 at Merrimack River Bridge and 270. Slight delays there. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry, 344. Look for slow traffic in pockets. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill, 270. Delays are possible. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson and Mason. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound 270 is slow from New Hall's Ferry through Washington, Elizabeth, then again from New Florissant through 170 in the right lane. You can expect slow traffic on westbound 270. Eastbound 40 at Spady and Lindbergh, heavy volume there. All your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays, as well as westbound 15 at 6570 split. Look for westbound 64 to have just a number of problems going on there as you're rolling into downtown. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Through December 15th, visit your St. Louis Toyota Service Center and join donation drives for the neonate MRI shuttle for St. Louis Children's Hospital. Toyota, a smart way to move forward. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Windy and rainy today, high around 45 this evening. Windy and blustery with rain possible with a low around 30. For Thursday, breezy, partly cloudy, high around 40. Thursday evening, partly cloudy with a low around the 30s. And then on Friday, not quite as cold, partly sunny, a high near 50. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have overcast skies, some area fog, so slow down if you're driving into work this morning. Give yourself some time. Our current temperature is sitting at 46 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, every single thing that you need to make your house a home. Get on over to 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, 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 where else?
This is Congresswoman Maxine Waters. No matter where I am in the world, I can always get the information I need from the Wake Up Call with my friend Liz Brown.
This is
is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down. At 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the Conspiracy Hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
This is Esther Wright, General Manager of WGNU. I would like to take a moment to congratulate Liz Brown, winner of the 2006 award for Best Political Coverage Radio from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. Her discussion last January of the continued delay of government aid to victims of Hurricane Katrina is just another reason why we call it award-winning. Tune in weekday mornings at 6 a.m. to hear Liz Brown on the award-winning wake-up call, only on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Grandma's hands used to hand me a piece of candy. Grandma's hands picked me up each time I fell low. Grandma's hands, boy, they really came in a handy, she'd say.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning wake-up call.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. My name is Liz Brown. This morning, we are having a discussion about teenage suicide. Our guest is Dr. Donna Barnes. She is the founder and president of the National Organization for People of Color Against Suicide, and she is joining us from Washington, D.C. I'd like to get to the phones right now for questions that people have. Daniel, do you have a question for Dr. Donna Barnes?
Yes, how are you all doing? My question is, does bullying play a part in African-American male suicide, or is there data that shows that bullying plays a part in that? And I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks for your question.
Yes, very much so. In fact, there's a woman who belongs to my suicide support group that I hold here at the mental health clinic, who lost her 15-year-old boy who was bullied because his sexuality was questioned, the way he dressed, or he was a little different than everybody else, and they bullied him, and he ultimately hung himself, and this happened a couple of years ago. I have another case in New Jersey where a 12-year-old took his own life. He was teased at school because he's African American and had that disease where you have white spots that sort of get bigger and bigger on your skin, and they would make fun of him and bully him, and he also hung himself, and he was only 12. So yes, bullying and teasing at school does play a part, and it's very, very unfortunate.
Do we find that the ages of young men of African descent, it's getting younger and younger that they're committing suicide?
The youngest on record is a 6-year-old, and that's here in Maryland, the state of Maryland, a 6-year-old several years ago. That's the youngest. And they can attempt generally as young as 10.
So getting back, well, let me get to one more call, and then I'd like to get back to some of the signs and some of the things that parents or teachers can do. Dee, do you have a question for Dr. Barnes?
Comment, doctors. You know, sometimes I sit in environments where I can overhear older men talking to young males, and some of the advice they give them is really somewhat horrendous. You know, I see in many instances that they don't seem to care for their savior, the black woman, and no matter what they do, in many situations, they undermine the black woman's effort and, in effect, destroy themselves. I see so much of the low self-esteem coming out as hatred toward black women.
Thank you for that. And Dr. Barnes, can you respond to that? Is this about a disconnect with the relationship with women?
Well, that's a little difficult to say, but I guess the caller does have a point there, that if they would relate more to their mom, their aunt, their grandmother, perhaps they wouldn't have such low self-esteem, because women don't do that to their sons or their grandsons, or we sort of protect them and build them up.
How do we as parents or teachers or friends out here spot low self-esteem in young black males?
Again, when they're talking negative, when they think that they're always fouling up, I'm always making a mistake, and when they blame themselves for everything that goes on around them that's negative, and they internalize it and blame themselves, that's could be a signs of low self-esteem. But low self-esteem, I mean, they say things like they feel sad, or they feel ashamed, or they feel empty, or they don't have any confidence in themselves, or they don't like themselves, or they're scared all the time.
And so a parent hears those phrases coming out of their child's mouth. They sit down and they talk to them. At what point does a parent make the decision? Is there something that their child can say that the parent should immediately get their child some professional help?
If they constantly, because I think they should get them some professional help as soon as they can. If they find that he's consistently sad for at least 2 weeks, if the sadness and the change of behavior and the not being able to respond lasts for at least 2 weeks, that's when they should get them some help.
And what should a parent look for? What should a parent be on the lookout for in getting their child some help?
They should shop for a therapist just like you shop for a pair of shoes. Because if the chemistry is not there, the child is not going to get anything out of it. And there has to be chemistry between the therapist and the child.
And that chemistry leads to the ability for the child to open up to the therapist.
Exactly. And the therapist to be responsive to the child.
So then the parent should interview the therapist.
Talk to them, tell them what the problem is, and ask them what their treatment would entail.
Should the parent talk to the child? Should the child weigh in on the selection?
Most definitely. They have opinions just like adults.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
1-877-920-WGNU. David, do you have a question for Dr. Barnes?
I got a comment for her. I heard her, and it just sparked me to call. It's two things. You know, one thing I think for Africans, they have to be very careful when they look at these psychiatrists and whatever the person's title is in that field, because the training is coming from a mono-ethnic curriculum one, and it's generally against African people. So I think black people have to be extremely careful on the people they go to, and we get that from our experts. And one point I just wanted to bring up and see if we can come to some medium on it. She mentioned something about young men and this thing of suicide. Well, one of the problems that I see in what she was saying is, I don't think that young men are out to kill themselves, but I do think that they define manhood through sexual conquest, thrill-seeking, and toughness. And when they come in contact with any other male that has that same mentality, then it's going to be a problem. And I think the thing that black people need to be doing is building institutions. The family is one, for sure, the first one, that we start teaching our young people and stop letting other people control the imagery of black people, which determines our young people's actions. I think that's more dangerous than looking at the symptoms and saying the problem is our children want to commit suicide.
Thanks for your call, David. And
I
guess what I was hearing from David's comment is that there's a different way to define some of this action, and isn't there?
Risky behavior, suicidal behavior. I still call it suicidal behavior, because any time the risky behavior can lead to a death, it's suicidal. And these kids know that their risky behavior can lead to death. So I contend that it is suicidal behavior. But he's 100% correct in reference to working with it before it even gets to that point, working with the families, working with the churches, in the schools. All three of those institutions need to come together and talk to one another so that we can build a healthier population among our children. Mental health is so important, mental hygiene, and we can do that together if the institutions will communicate with one another.
But isn't there something to be said about how males define their roles out here?
Well, they pay attention to the media. The media is an institution also that plays a big part in the socialization of our children, and that's what they listen to. They listen to they have these earphones on. They listen to this music 6 or 7 hours a day. They watch television. They see the movies. I mean, we are portrayed as these people who don't have any respect for themselves or life in general, and it's just not a good thing to have them exposed to the media as much as they are.
To the other point made by David about the selection of the person that you go to for help, that has to be you have to go to someone that certainly understands and is part of the culture that you come from.
Well, he is very on point about that, which is why I said you need to really shop around, because some of them are not culturally competent. And if you can find one from your own ethnicity, that's even better.
That's the best.
That's the best. That's the best one.
We're going to take a break. This is Liz Brown. We're having a conversation about suicide, teenage suicide, suicide of children of African descent. My guest this hour is Dr. Donna Barnes, founder and president of the National Organization for People of Color Against Suicide, joining us from Washington, D.C. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back.
For the issues that matter most to you, of course, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800 Dr. Laura.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis.
Sponsored by Reasonable Construction. Stop putting it off.
Here's a WGNU Global News Update. It's brought to you by Reasonable Construction. I'm Peyton Colston. In Los Angeles, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert spoke last evening to the United Jewish Community's General Assembly about Iran's nuclear ambitions. The Prime Minister called on the international community to quickly deal with the threat of a nuclear Iran.
How can we justify not preventing this catastrophic event? If Iran achieves the ability to produce nuclear weapons, as we know it is seeking to do, we will enter a new era of instability unlike any the world has ever seen.
He added that his country would never tolerate those who challenge Israel's right to exist. Meanwhile, a senior U.S. government official says the U.S. and other countries may want to plan for a preemptive strike if Iran or North Korea continues to develop nuclear weapons. The U.S. and its allies have accused Iran of pursuing a nuclear program, and North Korea recently performed an underground test of what's believed to be a small nuclear weapon. I'm Peyton Colston with this hour's WGNU Global News Update.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate. 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
them that's not shall get, them that's not shall lose. So the Bible said, and it still is news, Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back. My name is Liz Brown, and this is for our listening audience. There is a black business networking forum that will be held. The first networking forum will be held November 16th from 4 to 8 p.m. at Creative Image Social Hall. That's 6800 West Florissant, two blocks east of Jennings Station Road, next to Rally's. The number for more information is 381-5303. That's 381-5303. A black business networking forum. Bring your business card. This event is an open mic platform for introduction of business owners, their businesses, their business ideas, their strategy, and the goal is to maintain the existence of black-owned businesses. You need to be part of this. That is November 16th from 4 to 8 p.m. That's this Thursday at 6800 West Florissant. For more information, you can call 381-5303. And don't forget, I am looking for people for the Wake Up Call Band, the Proposition Funk. If you are interested in being part of the Wake Up Call Band, Proposition Funk, you need to give me a call because we will be meeting this Thursday at 1 o'clock. The number is 367-2743. My guest this hour is Dr. Donna Barnes, the founder and president of the National Organization for People of Color Against Suicide, and we're going to get to some more of our calls. Christine, good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to ask Dr. Barnes, do you think that because our children at such an early age, as early as 5 years old, they're given this drug called Ritalin? I want to know, do you know of any studies that's been done that that drug might cause suicidal tendencies?
I'm not aware of any studies that correlate Ritalin and suicide. Some of the antidepressants that are out, Prozac, Wellbutrin, those type medicines have been correlated with suicide among children, but it hasn't been proven. It's just been written about, because what they have found was that students were on those, and our young kids were on those antidepressants, but they weren't complying to them, which suggests that if they were complying, I mean, you can have it in your medicine cabinet, or you can have it available. So once they've suicided, the parent says, well, yes, they were on this antidepressant, but studies have found that they were not actually taking the medication.
And Dr. Barnes, to the teachers that are listening out here, are there any specific behaviors that they should look for in the classroom that may indicate that this is a child at risk for suicide?
Antisocial behavior, impulsiveness. They also need to look at those students who get straight A's, are very quiet, seem to keep to themselves, because once they get that F, it could really destroy them. We need to pay attention, because usually those who get straight A's are perfectionists, and they don't know how to handle the slightest failure. So you need to look at both spectrums.
And what about the child that is bullied and the child that is the bully?
Oh, both of them need help. The child who is the bully is acting that way because he's bullied at home. Either he's abused emotionally or physically at home, so he takes it out on his classmates. They both need to be taken care of.
And what are some steps that a teacher can take once they've identified this behavior, their concerns have been raised on this? Are there some specific things that they should do?
It depends on the policies of the school. Now, some schools have clinicians set up within the school, or they have a connection to resources outside the school. So they need to find out what the policy is, because if they find that there's a problem, number one, they need to call the parent, talk with the parent, and together they can come up with a solution. And sometimes, though, you'll find that the parents are in denial, and they may respond with, oh, my child's just having a bad day, or my child just had a fight with their father last night, so just ignore that. If that happens, continue to work with the child and get the child the help, because parents will not always want to listen because they're afraid that that's a strike against them.
Is there anything that a teacher can see happening that should tell them, you know what, I need to call somebody other than a parent?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Is there some kind of behavior that could be exhibited by a child that the teacher would say, oh my goodness, I need to call somebody other than a parent? Does it get to that? Can it get to that point? And what would that look like?
Oh, if the parent doesn't listen, if you have talked to the parents or sent notes to the parents and the parent is not responding to the child's aberrant behavior or change in behavior, and sometimes the child might be very sad, non-responsive, doesn't want to talk, and you can't seem to get anything out of them, and you're not getting any response from the parent, I think they should always reach out to the parent first. I can't think of any examples of where they shouldn't reach out to the parent unless the parent is the cause and this child is willing to express that.
Mm.
If the parent is causing their sadness and their psych ache, if you will.
Robin, you have a question for Dr. Barnes.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Good morning to your guest. I have my son, his name is Jordan, and I'm just having a hard time with Jordan. I've got him in counseling, and they say he's a middle child. I have 8 children. I have 6 in the home with me. And over the last past summer, he's grown tremendously, you know, physically-wise. And, I mean, he's getting all kind of silly trouble, and I don't know what to do. And I've gone to the school. You know, I'm very active with all my children, you know, all down to the, you know, to just the second grade. But can you please give me some advice, because I've got him in counseling and I've talked with the principal, the assistant principal, you know, the counselors, and he's not willing to change for me. He's so stubborn. So what can I do? And they keep saying it's like a middle child syndrome. What can I do?
How old is he?
Jordan is 13, and he will be 14 in December.
I see.
And he's so much bigger than me.
What are some of the things that he's doing that you're having problems with?
Well, he was suspended for 10 days for threatening a young boy at a school, you know, someone smaller than him. He hits on his sisters, you know, not fighting, but, you know, he antagonized them. You know, he just pushes them and, you know, pushes them out the way, you know.
Is he angry?
Excuse me?
Does he appear to be angry most of the time?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What does the counselor say about his anger?
Well, they said that I need to spend more time with him. I give him an hour a day for him and myself.
Okay.
And are you concerned, Robin, that there are suicidal tendencies there, Jordan?
I'm very concerned about that, because he says the same thing that your speaker said. He always says, I don't care.
That you don't care, or he doesn't?
He doesn't care. He doesn't care. It really does scare me.
Are you spending that hour a day with him?
Well, he was over to his father's house after he got suspended from school. He was with his father. He just got back home Monday. And as soon as he got back to school, you know, the first day of school, you know, he was acting silly again.
Well, the question, Robin, was, are you spending that hour a day with him?
To be honest, no, I'm not.
Okay, well then.
And you might want to ask him, when you do find time to spend that hour, and I know with 6 kids at home, it's hard to do that, but when you do find some time to spend with him, even if it's a half hour, you need to sit down and talk with him in a very sensitive manner and say, are you thinking of taking your own life? Just ask him that, and don't ask him in a threatening way. Like,
right.
If you're thinking about that, you know, that's silly, that's stupid. Don't do that, because he probably already feels bad enough.
And he's not a dumb little boy.
I'm sorry?
He's not a dumb little boy. He's very intelligent. He doesn't want to do anything that I say. When I say do it, he doesn't want to do it. He does things that he wants to. I said that. I think he'd like to get attention. They don't care if it's negative or positive.
And that we're going to have to let that be the last word, Robin. I'm sorry, I think that you should try what Dr. Barnes is saying. Find that time.
Phone number because I'm at my wit's end.
Okay, Dr. Barnes.
I'm sorry. What did she say?
She needed your phone number.
It's 202-549-6039.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.
I appreciate it.
Listen, Dr. Barnes, we're at the end of the hour. I want to thank you so much for joining me this morning on the St. Louis Public Schools Watch.
Well, thank you for covering such an important topic, as I mentioned before, in bringing awareness to your listeners.
And the website where people can go to find out more about your organization, the National Organization for People of Color Against Suicide.
www.nopcas.org. That's NOPCAS, as in the National Organization for People of Color Against Suicide.
Dr. Barnes, thank you again.
Thank you.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. In the next hour, half an hour, or at 8:30, let me put it that way, at 8:30, we're going to be talking about what has happened to the money in Katrina. Where is the money gone? We're going to be talking about that. You don't want to miss that conversation. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Another thing that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound
that's below me. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, feel the brother. Stop the system. But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger, and that is the Japanese news broadcast with a warning. Be prepared for tsunamis. Seismologists say they are possible after today's 8.1 magnitude earthquake off the coast of Japan. ABC News meteorologist Sam Champion runs down the warning and watch areas.
Now, the warning goes from the Alaskan coastal areas from Dutch Harbor, Alaska to Attu, Alaska. South of that area, or from Vancouver all the way to Dutch Harbor, Alaska, that's just a tsunami watch.
Now, that watch area also includes the Pacific Canadian coast, we are told, all the way down to Washington State. It also includes Hawaii. So far, the quakes caused only small tsunamis. There are tornado watches for parts of Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Arkansas today. The National Weather Service checking out reports of funnel cloud sightings. It's confirmed one twister near Hattiesburg, Mississippi. The storms also caused flash flooding in Little Rock, Arkansas.
We did have a few calls for stranded motorists that were in their vehicles that needed assistance. And we did send them to the fire department and get them out safely.
Joseph Buck with the city's 9/11 service. Another airline merger in the works, this time U.S. Airways wants Delta. Here's ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey.
Just like U.S. Airways theme music, which builds and builds to a big finish, the airline is building its business, offering to buy Delta Airlines for $8 billion in cash and stock. Delta is just emerging from bankruptcy, and if the deal goes through, it would help Delta pay off its creditors, and it would create one of the world's largest airlines. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
As Air Force One was being refueled in Moscow, President Bush took the time to meet with his Russian counterpart. They'll meet again in a few days at the Pacific Rim Summit in Vietnam. Some new digs for former lobbyist Jack Abramoff, a little more low scale than he's used to. Today he begins serving a 6-year prison sentence for fraud. This is ABC News.
I'm a mother of three, and I'm just beginning a whole new career. I'm enjoying this part of my life every bit as much as when I was winning 18 Grand Slam tennis titles. And with delicious new CitraCal Creamy Bites, I even enjoy taking the calcium I need to help prevent osteoporosis. I'm Chris Evert. I'm 51, and I am strong. Tell us about a strong woman you know at StandStrong.com. CitraCal Calcium. Stand strong.
Know what this Wednesday is? It's Kohl's 50% off sale, where you'll find great styles at half off throughout the store. I'm here with stylist Alexa talking about the latest trend, luxurious textures.
Think fabrics that feel soft to the touch.
Like cashmere?
Yes, sumptuous in a sweater, and snuggle up in plush throws for the bed or sofa.
What about footwear?
Boots lined with fleece? Very cozy.
Stay toasty at Kohl's 50% off sale. Save 50% on styles for you and your home this Wednesday only from 7 a.m. to midnight. At Kohl's, expect great things.
It's popular throughout the Mideast. How will an English-speaking audience, though, take to Al Jazeera? We'll find out starting today. Here's ABC's Linda Abbott.
Welcome to Al Jazeera.
Launched with a bang and amid controversy, Al Jazeera International is on the air. From its four broadcasting hubs, including Washington, D.C., AJI says it hopes to rebalance the flow of information from south to north and take on CNN and the BBC. But with its Arabic sister station seen by some as a mouthpiece for terrorists, Al Jazeera International's objectivity is already being called into question. Executive producer of programming in London, Rebecca Lipkin, is unfazed.
Stop speculating about what we're going to be about, and just watch the content.
Comcast, which was to have carried AJI in the U.S., says it doesn't have the capacity, but it can be seen on broadband. Linda Albin, ABC News, London.
You're determined not to pile on the holiday pounds this year. Take the suggestion from the authors of the book, You, the Owner's Manual. When you're dying to have that, whatever you want, stop, lick your lips, and count to three. If you still want it, well, then go for it. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
This update of WGNU News is brought to you by TomTom. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In the news, the Missouri State Water Patrol is warning boat owners at the Lake of the Ozarks to take precautions against thieves. The Water Patrol is investigating two recent major thefts at the lake. On November 9th, about 25 boats were broken into at the Parkview Bay Towers docks. And this Monday, 25 to 30 boats were broken into at the Palisades Yacht Club. The Water Patrol is looking for witnesses and stepping up patrols on the lake. The school district in Jefferson County is taking steps to keep students and staff safe. The Jefferson County Sheriff's Department teamed up with the Windsor C1 School District to conduct an intruder drill yesterday at Windsor High School. The intruder drill was prompted as a result of recent cases of school violence around the United States. And Illinois Senator Dick Durbin is keeping his leadership post in the new Democratic majority. Durbin was reelected yesterday to the second highest ranking party leadership post as the majority whip under Majority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada. Durbin and Reid had held the same post in the minority before the election. In his new post, Durbin will be the Democrats' lead person in the day-to-day actions on the Senate floor. This is only the fifth time an Illinois senator has served as a Senate leader. And that's this hour's update of WGNU News. It's been brought to you by TomTom. TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. I'm Peyton Colston reporting with this hour's update of WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Rollback Season at Walmart. Eastbound Zumbel at, or eastbound 70 at Zumbel, look for an accident. It's been cleared, but traffic's backed up all the way through 370. Southbound 270 at Ladue and 64 or 40, look for an accident there. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 44 from Merrimack Bridge through 270, look for slight delays. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Big Bend, look for stop-and-go traffic. Northbound 55 at Lindbergh and River de Pere, look for slow traffic. All your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays this hour. Westbound 40 at McCausland and Hanley, there's delays there. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and Clayton Warson, there's stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 270 at New Florissant and 170, look for delays as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Rollback Season at Walmart. Walmart's rolling back prices on tons of toys in Toyland, like the X Games motorbike was $149.52, now just $119. Plus, they've rolled back prices on more than 10,000 other items, so stop by and save big. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Windy and rainy today, a high around 45. This evening, windy, blustery, and rain will continue with a low around 30. For Thursday, breezy, partly cloudy, a high around 40. Thursday evening, partly cloudy, low around 30. And then on Friday, partly sunny with a high near 50. Currently, we have rain and 46 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting rain and 45. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up, get up, get up. Get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get up, get up, get to me. Marion.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Yes.
Yes, you had a psychologist, a psychiatrist on your show, and I'd like to have her name and number, please.
Her name is Dr. Donna Barnes, and I don't have her phone number in front of me, but I have the name of her organization, and that is the organization of the National Organization for People of Color Against Suicide. Okay, so you can do a Google search on that organization, and you can get their number there.
National Organization for People
of Color.
People of Color
Against Suicide.
Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to talk about. Let's get to a car phone. Mike.
Good morning, young lady.
Good morning.
What do you think about Nancy Pelosi opposing the chairmanship of the opportunity for the Congressman Hastings to be chairman of the Intelligence Committee?
She's saying that she doesn't want him to be the chairman?
Yes. I've heard that from Al Sharpton on the Tom Joyner show.
That's a horrible thing. That's a horrible thing for her to be in opposition to that, and black folks need to be very concerned about that, particularly what the Black Caucus has bent over backwards to do what Nancy Pelosi said. If she's opposed to Al Hastings, that's a big problem.
Well, it is. It seems that I want to see exactly how the other minority group in the Congress attack her behind this. I think that he is a very gifted individual and very hardcore when it comes to getting them, you know, being serious oversight over the intelligence committee.
It's going
to
be a problem.
Like,
it's going to be a problem if Nancy Pelosi opposes him because she said that she was going to go by seniority. Mm-hmm. And when you look at seniority, he is the one. He has the seniority. So I think that people should be very concerned about that.
Can you follow up on that for us?
Absolutely.
Thank you much, ma'am.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Yes, I was trying to get into actually a doctor question. But anyway, it's just a comment. I was listening to y'all talking about children with self-esteem. You know, more self-esteem you have, the more apt that you are the one who will commit suicide. You take the self-esteem from a person, he will be like a poor, dumb person. You go downtown, you look at most of the people that are homeless around rubbing rice, and they act happy. They find alcohol to relieve themselves. They find drugs. But people with an education, what you call a high education, and have self-esteem, rather than to be homeless, rather than to steal, rather than to change their ways what built their self-esteem, they will commit suicide. And this is why that you see the rate of black people are going up, is because more self-esteem that black youth gets today, whether it's good or bad, they got self-esteem, they would rather to die than to lose that self-esteem they have. And this is why it's not really the family that can do anything about it. It's the society that we live in. Anytime that you can look at a black man who can get out there and just sing a song and make millions of dollars and brag about it and say, it's his self-esteem you put him there. Oh, I believe this and I did this and I did that. Well, that black youth sees this.
Well, okay, I think that the challenge that you're having is the definition of self-esteem. My definition of self-esteem is different than somebody saying I have self-esteem. That doesn't mean anything. If a person says that they have self-esteem, the self-esteem comes from certain actions that a person engages in. So I can't get to where you are right now.
I've
got to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
This is Esther Wright, General Manager of WGNU. I would like to take a moment to congratulate Liz Brown, winner of the 2006 award for Best Political Coverage Radio from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. Her discussion last January of the continued delay of government aid to victims of Hurricane Katrina is just another reason why we call it award-winning. Tune in weekday mornings at 6 a.m. to hear Liz Brown on the award-winning Wake Up Call, only on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Don't fight the crowds. Shop RaglandandSons.net. Gifts for the whole family, right from your home. RaglandandSons.net. Black-owned, black-operated. 314-968-2789. Or toll free 1-800-577-5786. Get your free catalog online at raglandandsons.net. Register this week for your chance to win a 7-night stay at a 5-star Branson Resort. No purchase necessary. Registration this week only at raglandandsons.net. Drawing to be held November 20th. Use code WGNU25 for a 25% discount.
Making a difference has never tasted so good. Find out for yourself by attending the Think Pink Breast Cancer Brunch on Saturday, November 18th, from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the West End City Apartments, 275 Union Boulevard. The keynote speaker will be Becky Olson, author and founder of the nonprofit organization Breast Friends. Admission is only $40, with the proceeds benefiting Komen St. Louis. Get your tickets now by calling 314-423-2222. Extension 251, or visit westendcityapartments.com for more details
And remember to think pink.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Not even if no one else want it. And if I try to take it, they wanna break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it, Lord, I can take it. I'm the greatest man alive. Cut the drama, boy, save it for your mama. I'm the greatest man alive. I can't sweat it, no, I got to get it. I'm the greatest man alive.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and you know what? At the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking about how billions of dollars has gone missing or gone into the hands of those, kind of like a Robin Hood stealing from the rich, giving to the poor. We have the opposite, Robin Hood in reverse, stealing from the poor and giving to the rich. That's what's happening in the Gulf Coast area as a result of the money that is being spent in as a result of Katrina. We're going to be talking about that. Congress allocated, Congress handed out $10.4 billion through CDBG monies. That's Community Development Block Grant monies to help rebuild Louisiana. What happened to it? And at 8:30, we're going to have a discussion. What has happened to that $10.4 billion? You don't want to miss that discussion. Daryl, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I was wondering if you had heard, and I've been hearing, that Conyers is saying now that impeachment is off the table.
I think that everybody is saying impeachment is off the table. The question remains, Daryl, we need to continue to push the impeachment issue. We need to push the investigation issue. One of the theories out here of why they are saying that right now is that they do not want to be perceived as that they are out to get George Bush. Okay, that's one of the theories. Okay,
I don't understand that. Okay, wait a minute.
I agree, but let me finish with the rest of the theory. The rest of the theory is that they don't want to be perceived to do that, so they are going to do it in this way. They are going to ask for the investigations. The investigations will lead to nothing but the conclusion that we have to ask for impeachment. So that is what the theory is of the behavior that they are engaging in right now, that the hearings are going to be held, not impeachment hearings, but hearings that lead to impeachment, so that the only thing that can be done is impeachment. That's the theory.
Is there any way you can get Representative Conyers on?
I've had him on. I had him on. He wasn't going to talk about impeachment.
Oh, okay. I heard it from the DNC chairman.
Howard Dean was on my show as well, and he said out his mouth, impeachment. He said it on my show, impeachment is off the table.
Yeah, I heard him on one of the shows the other night. He said that, and I fell out of my chair.
Well, he said it here, so he said it right here on my show. So yes, so they are all saying that impeachment is off the table. The question, there are all kinds of grassroots efforts that are going on that are keeping this impeachment issue alive and in the forefront. What has to happen are the hearings. And
right.
Conyers has to hold the hearings. And my hope is that Conyers is going to hold those hearings, and we need to keep the pressure on Conyers to do that.
One other question concerning Iraq. I've heard politicians over the last week talking about the Iraqis need to take over. Now, didn't we go in there and just utterly destroy that country? We bombed the infrastructure into the Stone Age, and now we're expected the Iraqis to go in there and take over from this disaster that we created?
It's kind of like the little tomato, baby tomato that's trailing behind mama and daddy tomato and can't catch up. Mama goes back to the baby tomato, steps on it, squashes the baby tomato, says, now catch up. You can't do it. You can't catch up. You can't.
It is madness.
It is absolute madness.
Also, I called your number about the band.
Oh, okay. Very good. Did you leave your
information? And I left a message on there. Hopefully they'll get back with me.
Okay, and that's 1 o'clock tomorrow.
Right.
Okay. And we will be meeting, we're going to be meeting here, downstairs here.
Okay.
Okay. At 265 Union.
Right.
Okay.
All right, Liz.
Then see you tomorrow.
All right.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And for those of you that were wondering about that conversation I was just having, putting together a wake-up call band, a proposition funk. You like that? Howard likes that. Howard likes that. We're going to put together a little band here. Going to do something a little different, in talk radio. Wake up call band, Proposition Funk. Looking for folks that want to join us on this journey. The number to call to do that is 367-2743, 367-2743. Proposition Funk. Come on. Get on the train. Proposition Funk. 1-877-920-WGNU. Aleem.
How you doing, my sister?
I'm outstanding.
Well, you know, I'm not really all that enthused about this so-called Democratic victory. For one reason, about the economy. You know, this particular last couple of weeks, I've been experiencing a situation where some poor-time janitorial positions. I mean, folks are really breaking their neck to get these positions. These are just, I mean, they ain't really paying a whole lot of money on some of these positions. And people are killing themselves trying to get these jobs. And, I mean, I don't think the economy going to get any better when you have to have people like myself who are single, with no kids, I'm 37 years old, not married, and I still have to work two jobs. And we sitting up, jumping up and down because some Democrats got into office.
Did you vote, Aleem?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And you know my sister quite well.
That's so right.
You know me by a different name, but you know my sister also.
Yes, I do. But I'm just having a conversation with everybody else that's joining us, so everybody doesn't know that. So that's why I was asking you.
Yes,
okay.
I did vote. She picked me up early, and even though I wasn't feeling that well that morning, she came and got me, and I went to vote.
All right. And here's the thing. That I think that people should, as a result of this election, first of all, you have to recognize that elections and politics, it's a process. Changing an economy, it's a process, and it's a process that you have to be engaged in forever. That you have to be engaged in the political climate that you find yourself in forever. You need to pick which piece you want to be participatory in and stick and stay with it. Yes, the economy sucks. It sucks big time. There are huge problems. It is a testimony to the awfulness of the economy when a person such as you is having a difficult time in finding employment. That being said, there is reason to be cautiously optimistic and cautiously and absolutely engaged in the political process as a result of the national changes that have taken place. Is it fixed? Absolutely not. Is it going to be fixed soon? Absolutely not. Is there an opening, a crack in the facade for changes to be made? I believe that there is a crack in the wall, crack in the facade. I think that there is. My take on it is I am cautiously optimistic and understand that I have to re-engage and engage even harder on to make the changes that need to happen. I am not pessimistic about the future.
Liz Brown, because my experience for my people in this country, I do not like America. Now, somebody might tell me, well, why don't you just pack up your bags and leave out of America? But Liz Brown, America is a cancer in this world, honestly. A lot of people think, well, this is a great opportunity to live in America. I see every day, I see people who cannot get no health care, people who are homeless. Go around, and brother, somebody mentioned about Larry Wright, all them brothers, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters now with kids, walking around 14th Street around the library, nowhere to go. This is not no land of opportunity. Liz Brown, this country must be destroyed, because I don't believe it's the only way that this world will be changed if this country is be just disintegrated altogether. Now, you can interpret that any kind of way you want to. I hate this country, period.
Thanks for your call.
I hate this country, Liz. I do.
All right, Elaine. 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. You need to stay with me. We're going to have a guest in the next hour to talk about where did the $10.4 billion of CDBG money go to change, to fix Louisiana after Katrina? Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Eastbound 70 at Zumbel, that accident's been cleared. Traffic's backed up through Cave Springs. Westbound 40 at Hanley and 170, look for an accident. Left lane's blocked and traffic's backed up through Clayton Skinker. Westbound 70 at Cole, there's an accident. It's been cleared. There's still some residual delays. And it's backed up between 3200 South Broadway all the way into northbound 55 and Memorial, so expect big delays there. Westbound 70 at 370, there's an incident reported in the left lane. Northbound 270 at Teson Ferry and Big Bend, stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason, look for slow traffic there. Westbound 270 at New Halls Ferry and Washington Elizabeth, look for very heavy volume going on there as well. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street onto the PSB. Look for very slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is backed up. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. That ramp is backed up at the top of the hill. And westbound 64 from 15th Street all the way into 570 split. Look for delays there. Lindell at Kings Highway, there's a medical emergency reported. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Through December 15th, visit your St. Louis area Toyota service centers and join a donation drive for a neonate MRI shuttle for St. Louis Children's Hospital. Toyota, a smart way to move forward. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, windy and rainy. A high near 45 for this evening. Windy, blustery, and rain is expected. It should be colder this evening with a low around 30. For Thursday, breezy and partly cloudy, a high near 40. And Friday, not quite as cold, partly sunny with a high near 50. Currently, we have rain and 46 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, every single thing that you need to make your house a home, your home a palace. You know what? Get on over to 3425 Union. My name is Liz Brown. When you get your shop on, tell them I told you to.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
Make your holiday exciting by celebrating Christmas New Orleans style.
Come for the food.
Come for the art.
Come for the history.
Come for the sweet sounds of jazz.
Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan a December getaway filled with Revillon feasts, free concerts, French Quarter shopping, and all the excitement of Harrah's Casino. And make it last with discounted hotel rates, courtesy of Papa Noel himself. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today to get your free guide with more than $2,400 in coupons and jazz up your December New Orleans style.
Come for the fun.
Come feel good.
Come for the beauty. Come for the
spirit, heart, and soul.
Come for it all.
Come fall in love with New Orleans all over again.
Discover Christmas New Orleans style at NewOrleansOnline.com.
RaglandAndSons.net. For that special gift, RaglandAndSons.net. Black owned, black operated. 314-968-2789. Or toll free, 1-800-577-5786. Call for your free catalog today or visit RaglandAndSons.net. Register this week and enter to win a free 7-night stay at a 5-star Branson Resort. No purchase necessary. Must register online this week only at RaglandAndSons.net. Use code WGNU25 for a 25% discount. Winner announced November 20th.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to know that the Wake Up Call is streamed at WGNU.net. We are archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. So if you missed an hour, go get your hour. Because we have a lot of business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Now, there are a lot of people in Washington. There are a lot of people around the country that are doing a happy, 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 happy dance because of the results from a week ago, a little over a week ago. Democrats took control of the House. Democrats took control of the Senate. Yahoo, right? The reason that they're saying that we're hearing a lot of talk or a lot of smack talk about is it's the war, stupid. It's the war. Huh. I beg to differ. I beg to differ. I believe that one of the reasons why the Republicans were kicked to the curb, soundly kicked to the curb, is because of Katrina. I believe that American citizens walked into those polling places and said, you know what? No. I have seen my people, I've seen my people, I've seen American citizens floating in the water while people vacationed or bought $1,000 shoes and saw plays in New York while our babies died and suffered needlessly. Katrina was a reason, a big reason. And we need to focus on that fact. And one way of focusing on that fact is to examine where we are over a year outside of Katrina. Where are we? We're going to have that conversation right now, this half hour, with Judson Mitchell. He's a staff attorney for Loyola Law Clinic and the editor for the website justiceforneworleans.org. He's joining us from New Orleans. Judson, good morning.
Good morning to you.
How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Very good. Let's talk about the money that's supposed to come to New Orleans. What is CDGB money? CDBG money?
It's Community Development Block Grant money, which is the preferred method of the federal government distributing money to states and local authorities. It basically, for us, it was a multi-billion dollar chunk of money that was to come down here and help us rebuild, or at least that's the idea.
And the determination for who gets what, who gets how much of this community development block grant money is really based upon the poverty within that particular city. Aren't those some of the factors that go into the determination of how much money?
Well, we wish it was. We wish it was. I think an amount has been determined by the federal government, and then it's up to the state government to determine how that money gets dispersed. And what we're seeing is a pattern of the top level of money going to the corporations to bail out them and their particular infrastructure problems. And the people who are lower down in the income ladder have yet to see anything of this money.
But by law, isn't half of this money, because it's based on a lot of risk factors in the communities, by law, isn't half of that money supposed to go to the benefit of the people that have the risk factors?
That's correct. That's correct. But there's very little oversight on that, and it's something that we're watching. We don't really know if that's what's happening. It doesn't certainly doesn't appear that way. The first big chunk of money from that CDBG grant that was actually earmarked and spent was $200 million for the Entergy Corporation, which is the local subsidiary of the multinational energy company, and that was to help them repair their power grid, despite the fact that the company itself, the parent company, made record profits last year. The local subsidiary declared bankruptcy and is now claiming poverty and has taken $200 million of that money to try to recoup some of their losses.
Have the grids been repaired?
To the extent where people are living and there are people who need power, generally speaking, yes. But the fact that power hasn't been restored in some parts of town is something that stops redevelopment and stops people from coming back. I think in the lower Ninth Ward, there's still substantial power issues, and even in the upper Ninth Ward and in New Orleans East. But where there are people living, they have had success in getting that power back on.
Now, can we talk some numbers right now? How much money has Congress allocated through the CDBG money to rebuild in Louisiana?
Slightly over $2
billion. Over $2 billion. Mm-hmm. And as of November 1st of this year, and we've already established that 50% of this money is supposed to go to low and moderate income people. As of November 1st of this year, how many people have actually received any of the CDBG money to rebuild their homes?
18.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood you.
18.
How many homeowners? Well, okay, have there only been 18 homeowners that have applied for this assistance?
No, as of November 1st, it was 77,000.
77,000 people have applied for assistance and only 18 have received it.
That's correct. And what's interesting about that is that the state government hired a private company called IFC International to actually manage this program and get the money out. They were paid $756 million to do that, which was a very big deal for them.
Slow down, please. How much money was this private company paid to get the money to poor people to fix their homes?
$756 million. And which was a lot for ICF, the name of the company, because their total revenue in 2005 was actually $177 million. So this has been quite a boon for them. The problem is that they haven't done a very good job. The governor has gone on record in the last week saying she's extremely disappointed with how long it's taken to get the money to people. She's making demands of them and setting deadlines, and I believe she's having them up to the governor. very dissatisfied with what they've done, because the fact of the matter is that this program has been on the ground in one way or the other at least 6 months, actually longer. And even though it's creating a bureaucracy overnight, and I'm sure there's difficulties involved with that, this money, the longer it takes for it to get out, the less likely we are to recover in a healthy way. It's really essential to getting New Orleans back in shape.
Who made the decision that this company receive over $700 million to administer this program?
That I don't know. There is there's a board that runs the Road Home program, as it's called, made up of various, mostly political appointees. I don't know the backstory as to how this particular company got picked and what expertise they had in making instant bureaucracies and distributing money. I really don't know. Fact of the matter is, if they were doing a good job and if things were moving quickly, no one would probably care.
Now, with respect to the numbers of people that need assistance, number of homeowners that need assistance, does the 77,000 represent the totality of homeowners that need help or only those that have applied?
Well, that represents people who have applied. That doesn't represent everybody. It's sort of a convoluted process. Basically, you put your name on a list with a phone number, and at some point in the future, the Road Home program is what it's called, will contact you and say, okay, we've set you up for an appointment. And then you go into the office and they take your application, and then the fund begins. So actually having done an application means that they've called you and you've gone in. There are lots and lots of people who haven't even gotten that far. And, you know, the thing about it is this program is really targeted to homeowners and to landlords, but doesn't provide any money for renters. And more than 50% of the people who live in New Orleans prior to the storm were renters.
Justin, I'm just trying to wrap my mind around how much money it takes to administer a program to 77,000 people. How could it possibly take $700 million to administer such a program?
Well, one of the things that we storm victims noticed since this happened is that the people who come in to help, particularly when they're paid for by the government, live large and have a real good time. I don't know. They're
still having a good time in New Orleans.
I think so. I think there's some substantial profit there for ICF.
We're going to take a break. I'm talking to Judson Mitchell. He's a staff attorney for the Loyola Law Clinic and editor for the website justiceforneworleans.org. He's joining us from New Orleans. My name is Liz Brown. We will be back.
Connect Care. Still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Seal.
It's time for a WGNU Global News Update brought to you by Reasonable Construction. I'm Peyton Colston. Arab television network Al Jazeera will launch its new English-speaking channel in Washington, D.C. today. The channel will feature anchor Dave Marash, who's worked for ABC's Nightline. He says even though he accepted the job, he's not afraid to leave if he finds an editorial slant. The Qatar-based network started broadcasting in 1996, but became well-known during the Afghan War by broadcasting exclusive footage of Osama bin Laden. In other global news this morning, a minister in the Bahamas is being called to resign for giving TV personality Anna Nicole Smith special treatment. Smith moved to the Bahamas 3 months ago to give birth to her daughter and to escape the attention of the paparazzi. While there, her son Daniel died. His death sparked several embarrassing issues for the Bahamas government, including a quick residency permit given to Smith by Immigration Minister Shane Gibson. I'm Peyton Colson, and that's this hour's WGNU Global News Update.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate. 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
I can't turn back. My heart is fixed. My mind's made up. I'll never stop. And my faith will see me through. Let me tell you.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. This hour, I am talking to Judson Mitchell. He is a staff attorney for Loyola Law Clinic and editor for the website justiceforneworleans.org. He's joining us from New Orleans. And, Judson, welcome back. Let me get to some of our callers here. David, you have a question for our guest, Mr. Mitchell.
I got a comment. I just want to see if I can get a consensus on what he was talking about, because when he mentioned the electric company down there, the area that they're not providing electric to, this is an orchestrated plan. Of course the company is making more money and profit because they're selling that electric to outsource for a bigger profit to other communities. But he started mentioning the initials in these private corporations. There's another corporation called IEM that was paid $500,000 to come up with an evacuation program for New Orleans, and they didn't come up with it. They end up being awarded another contract to find out what went wrong. Now, I think what happened is this. You see, this flood is a flood of convenience for the Republicans from the president on down. Because here you have the purging of voters that are Democratic voters. You have the killing of people that the president knew in advance because FEMA and Army Corps of Engineers told him before we had this breaching of these levees, these federal levees. So when you start looking at all the events of what is happening there, they have all this money that has been collected. It's not going to never get to the populace, to the people, because it's their plan to disenfranchise this community. And when you look at the difference between the money that was given to a Republican governor in Mississippi and what happened with this Democratic governor and Democratic senator and this whole ball of wax, and people that are poor people that live in the housing project, that their apartments weren't even in the flood. This is a flood of racism, of Republican convenience, and the people are definitely going to suffer, and they don't have to be poor.
Okay,
wrong area.
All right, thanks for your call.
Okay.
And Judson, let's get to the issue that one of the issues that he raised about the housing authority. The housing authority has gotten some of this CDBG money, right? But what is it using it for?
It's using it to basically demolish all of the projects that exist in New Orleans. And
The money to demolish?
Right. Exactly right. It's actually, we're involved in a lawsuit with this, trying to stop the demolition of the housing projects, and we've spent a lot of time in the projects that exist. Some of them, there are four principal ones that are involved. One or two were touched by the storm, but really what's happening is Housing Authority has so neglected these places that they've come to the point now where they would rather just demolish them and spread people out.
So,
the problem with that is, and even if they live up to their promises where they say, we're going to provide you with a nice new house, this, that, and the other, it's going to take 3 to 5 years to build them. There's actually public housing on the ground now, untouched by the flood, where people are living, that they're about to demolish, and they have to wait 3 years to have any place to move into, at minimum.
So let me see if I understand this right. We have flooding from Katrina that came in and destroyed a whole lot of homes, and the HUD has gotten money to and they are using the money to destroy homes that were not damaged by the flood.
That's correct. That is correct. The majority of these places were not touched by the storm. However, they've been unsecured since Katrina. The housing authority is letting people loot them, take the copper off pipes, take the stuff off the roofs, all this other kind of stuff, and they're actually slowly degrading now as a result of the negligence of the housing authority. And there are many places, the Lafitte Project is one in particular, which is in great shape. In fact, there are people living there right now. We went through there with an MIT architect who is an authority on this stuff, and he looked at these projects up and down. And he said, not only are they structurally sound because they're built of brick and their walls are made of stucco so that any water that got on them doesn't affect them, but he said, actually, even though they were built in the 40s, they're built to the best architectural standards because the layout is the best thing. Everything is on a human scale. These are great buildings which should be preserved and which people could be living in right now, but that's not what the Housing Authority wants. They want to go with this overall policy of destroying all projects and spreading people out. We've had some bad experiences in New Orleans that passed, and there's no reason for particular optimism in that.
And the particularly painful part of this and wicked part of this is that they are using the money that the federal government is giving to repair New Orleans to destroy it.
Right, right, and other HUD money.
And other HUD money. And,
right.
And that gets to some of the comment that the last caller made about the intention of this. When you factor in the fact that people are being kept from coming back to New Orleans, and this urge and this urgency and these acts of tearing down the housing that housed these people, what other conclusion can we draw? That there is a certain amount of intention to this.
And I've heard reports that a lot of that is being driven by our mayor and also by the governor, both of whom rely heavily on that constituency. So it's a lot of strange thinking, say the least. But you have to look at it from the perspective of someone who is an evacuee in Houston right now or Memphis trying to make it and wanting to come home. They have to come back to no public hospitals, very few private hospitals, very few open public schools, other than charters where they won't be able to get in.
Well, Bill Roberti destroyed our school district, so you got him now, and I can't imagine him doing anything different.
Well, I mean, we just don't have a school district anymore, frankly. The state took over what was left of the Orleans Parish schools, and everything else went charter, and that's the way it's going to be for the time being. There's no housing. There's absolutely no rental housing available. And it'd be very hard. And then if you had a child, if you had child care concerns and things like that, it's impossible to move back. And there's really nothing to be done to facilitate the return of people who work, who have, who need rental space and who need basic public services. That's not here. The people who are here are people basically who can pay their own ticket.
Mm. When HUD talks about their explanation for the destruction of housing that was not touched by the flood, what is their reason for it? Why do they say they have to be torn down?
Well, they say that the places are not salvageable.
Even the places where people are living right now.
That's correct. They say that they're not salvageable, not worth repairing, and so that's why they're doing this.
Well, what is your lawsuit trying to? What are the grounds for your lawsuit?
Well, basically, it's under the Fair Housing Act and other constitutional arguments, saying that look, these places are in good shape. These people have contractual rights to live there because some people don't know this, but people who live in public housing pay rent and they are lessees, and they have a right to be there. And we're seeking to stop the demolition. Unfortunately. The judge in the matter, Ivan Lamel, who's a federal judge here in town, has refused to act and has put off action indefinitely.
Huh?
And they're supposed to head forward with the demolitions in November. They've already let out some contracts for demolition. They've already signed deals with development companies to redesign these places and, you know, start building. They've held community meetings and charrettes and things like that, trying to get public housing residents on board with this thing. So this thing is going forward. The problem is that no matter how pretty they make it look to a public housing resident, showing them nice pictures of the homes they're supposed to get, which they may not, it's 3 years. And 3 years is a long time.
And you can wait.
Nowhere to live.
And you can wait people out.
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
Judson, is it possible that you could stay with us for a few more minutes?
Sure.
Okay. We're going to keep you. We're going to hold you over so we can get to all of the people that want to talk to you. This morning we're talking about what is going on in New Orleans with the CDBG money. I'm talking to the staff attorney for Loyola Law Clinic and the editor for the website justiceforneworleans.org, Judson Mitchell. He's joining us from New Orleans. My name is Liz Brown. I will be back after the break. Please stay with us.
For power, nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brother.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. The meteorological agency in Japan has just canceled a tsunami warning. It was issued earlier today after an 8.1 magnitude underwater earthquake. So far, waves topped out at just 16 inches. More from ABC's Narika Namiki.
We are not totally out of woods completely. The officials and also the meteorological agency says the fact that there was one tsunami shows that there could be more. There could be some ripple effects. So they are still telling the residents to be careful.
Tsunami warnings are still posted for parts of Alaska and British Columbia. A watch for the rest of the Pacific coast along Canada's coast and Washington State as well as Hawaii. Rain in Seattle is really nothing unusual, but they've had so much this month they're about to break a record. The Weather Channel's John Desjardins is watching.
The wettest November on record for Seattle is 11.62 inches of rain, and they are expecting another 1 to 2 inches of rain possible today, which would put them over 12 inches for the month and would also set a new record.
Storms are also pounding the south, blamed for flash floods in Little Rock, a tornado near Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and numerous funnel cloud sightings. U.S. Airways, once Delta, it's offered to buy the bankrupt carrier for $8 billion in cash and stocks once Delta emerges from Chapter 11. If you're going to be flying somewhere for Thanksgiving, you'll pay more. In fact, any way you go, you're going to pay more.
How will you be moving next weekend?
Come fly with me.
Nearly 5 million of us are expected to fly away to Thanksgiving destinations, up more than 3% from last year. But most
will hit the road.
AAA
says some Americans who stayed home over the summer in fear of high gas prices will have no trouble hopping in the car now. Overall, AAA estimates 38.3 million of us will be traveling this holiday. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News.
ABC News Money Scope. The Dow is up 20 points, NASDAQ up 2. This is ABC News.
I'm a mother of three, and I'm just beginning a whole new career. I'm enjoying this part of my life every bit as much as when I was winning 18 Grand Slam tennis titles. And with delicious new CitraCal Creamy Bites, I even enjoy taking the calcium I need to help prevent osteoporosis. I'm Chris Ever. I'm 51, and I am strong.
Tell us about a strong woman you know at StandStrong.com. CitraCal Calcium. Stand strong.
Know what this Wednesday is? It's Kohl's 50% off sale, where you'll find great styles at half off throughout the store. I'm here with stylist Alexa, talking about the latest trend, luxurious textures.
Think fabrics that feel soft to the touch.
Like cashmere?
Yes, sumptuous in a sweater, and snuggle up in plush throws for the bed or sofa.
What about footwear?
Boots lined with fleece? Very cozy.
Stay toasty at Kohl's 50% off sale. Save 50% on styles for you and your home. This Wednesday only from 7 a.m. to midnight. At Kohl's, expect great things.
Many of us already knew that chocolate is a perfect food. Well, now so do the experts. Here's ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey.
Chocolate is love.
If you are a chocoholic,
I'm a chocoholic,
you know that chocolate is sugar and cocoa fat and chemicals.
Please don't mention the chemical connection.
Turns out some of those chemicals are good for you. Researchers at Johns Hopkins say flavonoids in chocolate thin your blood and protect your heart just like aspirin does. Good news for chocoholics at this New York chocolate show.
People are so excited about chocolate at this show.
Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Chocolate is love.
New York.
Welcome to Al Jazeera.
An English language version of the Arabic language TV channel is now on the air. It's available to more than 80 million homes, but so far it has no major U.S. carrier. I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Breakfast at Sonic. I'm Peyton Colston. The labor community will benefit from the outcome of the 2006 midterm election. That's the word from David Robertson, a political science professor at the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Robertson says the Democrats taking control of the House and Senate will make for a very different pro-labor agenda when Congress reconvenes in January. Robertson yesterday addressed the Gateway chapter of the Labor Employment Relations Association to discuss how the elections will impact labor issues. DePere Hospital is being recognized for its excellence in spinal surgery. HealthGrades ranked the hospital the best for spinal surgery in the St. Louis central area and in the top 10 for spinal surgery excellence in the state. Dr. Michael Chabot, president of orthopedic specialties at DePere Hospital, says the ranking does a lot to improve the community image that DePere is just a small regional hospital. HealthGrades also ranked DePere Hospital best in Missouri for joint replacement surgery and best in the St. Louis central region for overall orthopedic surgery. Finally this hour, two local teachers will be honored today at a banquet in Jefferson City. McClure North High School video production teacher Kevin Hampton and Hazelwood East High School chorus teacher Robert Swingler were among the finalists in this year's Missouri Teacher of the Year program. Missouri's candidates for the 2007 National Teacher of the Year Award is Daryl Johnson, a communication arts teacher at Smithville High School. And that's WGNU News for this hour, brought to you by Breakfast at Sonic. Drive into Sonic this morning for their steak, egg, and cheese burrito. Thinly sliced steak, egg, and cheese wrapped in a warm tortilla. It's a hearty way to start your day that's not just good, it's Sonic good. I'm Peyton Colston reporting WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your local REMAX office. Eastbound 40 at Hanley. Look for an accident. Left lane's blocked. Traffic's backed up through Ballas. Westbound 40 between Hanley and 170, there's an accident. Left lane's blocked and traffic's backed up through Kings Highway. Northbound 170 at Olive, that accident has been cleared. Expect delays. Eastbound 44 at Elm. Look for an accident there. And all your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge are slow go today, so just use caution. There are a number of ongoing construction projects, so use caution and slow down as well. It's raining and there's fog, so expect some delays and just take your time getting to work this morning. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your local REMAX office. Looking to buy or sell a home? Search with REMAX at REMAX.com. They have millions of listings and outstanding agents, so you will have outstanding results. Visit REMAX.com today. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Windy and rainy today with a high around 45. This evening, windy, blustery, and rain is expected to continue with a low around 30. For Thursday, breezy, partly cloudy, a high near 40. And Friday, partly sunny with a high near 50. Currently, we have rain and 46 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting rain fog and 45 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. Us up next, we'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, talk to me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, talk to me.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that below me.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. I am talking to the editor for the website justiceforneworleans.org. He is joining us from New Orleans. He's also a staff attorney for Loyola Law Clinic, Judson Mitchell. Judson, welcome back.
Thanks.
And let's get to some of the people that have been holding on so long to talk to you. Bob, do you have a question for my guest, Mr. Mitchell?
I have a question, Liz, and I want to comment because it seems that we're talking about community development block grant being misused in New Orleans. Well, Mr. Mitchell, I'm sure is aware, I don't know how old he is, but just to clarify why I'm talking with knowledge, I work for the government for 35 years in housing. Patricia Harris appointed me to my first supervisory position in all but five of those years. I was in the executive positions and supervision and management. And community development block grant is nothing but a big gift to the cities. They made it an entitlement and took money from public housing in order to give it to the cities. And they can do anything they want to do with it, because it takes nothing but to put in your application that you are going to provide jobs for low-income people. And New Orleans has been in a problem for many, many years in public housing, just like every other city, because it demolition by neglect. If you don't take care of it, it'll fall down. Look at your Puyallup, your Vaughan Towers, the Peabody, the University City towers that you had here. And those are the same things happened in New Orleans. And it wasn't an accident. It wasn't a flood. It was by design. It's been going on for 30 years. And he has some good people, Marvel Robinson down there. Mr. Mitchell, do you know her in the HUD office?
I don't.
Well, she is the director of management down there, and she has been trying just like I am. But I was such a vocal whistleblower that Patricia Harris, like I said, appointed me to all of the housing in Iowa to seemingly get me just away from them for a little while. But this thing of they take money from public, those, if you remember all the development done down in the city, the old post office building, the boat that they bought and sold to the man in Pittsburgh three or four times, the old Savoy Towers, the Savoy Hotel,
all
of that is community development block grant money. They go out and inspect in black communities like they did up here in 40th and that, and they tear all those places down because then they say it's blighted.
All right.
That's what they did in New Orleans.
And I would like for our guest to comment on that. Thank you, Bob.
Please do, because it's nothing new. It's been going on, and if you go down to the Community Development Block Grant Office in St. Louis and just see how many billions and billions of dollars has been spent on this no-good program.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, I really can't disagree with anything you said. I think all of that is correct. It's funny how these government programs usually end up going to developers and other folks to increase tourism or do something for business and lots of other things, but rarely does the money get into the hands of people who need it. We had St. Thomas, which was a very old housing project in the Irish Channel of New Orleans, was demolished under another HUD program called Hope 6, and the residents there were promised other housing, which they never received. Very little housing was made available to them. However, a local developer did quite well, building out some condos there and opening a Walmart in the center of the city. That's nothing he said surprises me, and I think it's all quite correct.
Let me get to another caller. Renee, you have a question for our guest.
Yeah, I have some comments, and I would like for him to do his narrative. In New Orleans, presently now, the new homes that have to be rebuilt, they have to be built on stilts, 6 to 8 feet high. And a lot of people might not want to rebuild back in New Orleans because they may not be able to walk up the steps to their new home. I have a friend. Her mother's house was demolished this spring, and she's getting the money now to rebuild her home. The government gave her...
Do you know anything about that? We lost Renee. Do you know anything about that, Judson, that there are now new requirements for building homes that may impact on whether or not people can get their homes built?
Well, there are going to be some new requirements, but I don't believe they've gone into effect yet. And I'm not entirely sure that they're going to be as high as 6 or 8 feet. The thing is that if people rebuild now or get their permits now...
And Judson, you're drifting a little bit. Can you stay on top of your phone a little bit, please?
I'm trying to hear. How about that?
Much better.
Yeah. If they build or they make their plans now and get things going, my understanding is that they can get in before the new flood elevation requirements go into effect. Eventually, they will go into effect, but I don't know if it's going to be as dramatic as 6 to 8 feet. But frankly, I'm not really sure that's what's keeping a lot of people out of town. I think that there are other things that make it much more difficult. The idea of having to raise your house is probably a little bit further down the list.
And can we get 10 more minutes from you?
Sure.
All right. We're talking to Judson Mitchell. He's staff attorney for Loyola Law Clinic and editor for the website justiceforneworleans.org. Joining us from New Orleans, my name is Liz Brown. We're talking about where is the money going? Where is the development money going? Where is the housing development money going in New Orleans? My name is Liz Brown. I will be back after this. Stay with me.
This is Esther Wright, General Manager of WGNU. I would like to take a moment to congratulate Liz Brown, winner of the 2006 award for Best Political Coverage Radio from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. Her discussion last January of the continued delay of government aid to victims of Hurricane Katrina is just another reason why we call it award-winning. Tune in weekday mornings at 6 a.m. to hear Liz Brown on the award-winning wake-up call, only on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in every Friday at 5:15 for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage from your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons at 5:15 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and I am talking to this hour Judson Mitchell, who has graciously stayed on for some extra time to continue our conversation about what is happening in New Orleans. He is the editor for the website justiceforneworleans.org. And Judson, before you go, can you talk to us about, there's an issue with some dump truck money?
Well, it depends on which dump truck money you're talking about.
There's more than one?
Yeah, there are a lot of dump trucks that are going in and out. One of the things that came up initially after the storm was many contracts were given, companies were given contracts to remove debris out of New Orleans, and many of them didn't even have any experience with it. There was one company in particular that didn't even own a dump truck. We were given a $500 million grant to do some dumping work.
Oh, stop it. You're killing me.
Yeah, and if you look at the connections between it, you see that usually the companies who got the immediate contracts are also big money givers to politicians, and they cleaned up pretty well on it, to be sure.
I guess you can buy a dump truck or two for that kind of money.
Yeah, they probably rented them. Who knows? But there's actually, if you look on justiceforneworleans.org, there's a link. A report called Big Easy Money, Disaster Profiteering on the American Gulf Coast, and that spells out in detail really how a handful of corporations have cleaned up out of this.
And the name of that company was Ashbrit?
That's correct.
And they came out of, should we be suspicious that they came out of Florida?
Perhaps, yes, I think so. I think there's definitely a connection there. And you see a lot of other companies who come in, Bechtel, Blackwater, one of Halliburton's. They're all here and doing business.
So, in terms of the oversight of any of this, is there any single entity out there whose charge is to pay attention to, I don't know, $1 million of this money, this reconstruction money?
No, I don't think so. I mean, in terms of these the federal block grant that we received, the Road Home Commission, which is a state-appointed board, is in charge of oversight, and they're the ones who are, you know, giving $200 million to energy and all this other stuff. The only people who are doing oversight are basically community activists and lawyers and people who are concerned or who have a sinking feeling that the money is not going to go to the right place.
Have you seen any examples, Judson, of the money going and to the place that it's supposed to go and a good, positive result happening out of it?
Not out of the CDBG money at all. I don't think so. I mean, you're only talking a handful of people who receive it. You hardly notice anything. Anything good that's happened in New Orleans in terms of rebuilding neighborhoods since the storm has been done by the people themselves directly. see that as you drive around. For example, in some of the less affected parts of town, you know, street signs are blown out and all that. The folks have made their own street signs and put them up. They've cleaned up their own neutral grounds, repotted plants and done things to make it look better. In other neighborhoods, they're individually rebuilding with whatever little insurance money they have and making a go of it. There are a lot of stories of courage. I mean, there's some folks, there's one couple that I know of in the Ninth Ward who have fully rebuilt their house, although there is no one living within six blocks of them in any direction, living out there by themselves. You know, they're taking that individual initiative. So everything that's been done so far is really the work of individuals, and it's actually been very impressive so far. And when and if this money ever gets to New Orleans, I just think that things are going to improve more dramatically. We're just not convinced it's coming.
Well, do you have an idea of the amount of money that has been put in New Orleans right now and spent?
From what source?
From any source. From all of a year, we're a little over a year outside of the anniversary of Katrina. How much money has made it to New Orleans?
Well, in a lot of different ways, probably a lot. Obviously, the insurance companies have thrown a lot of money into New Orleans because they didn't have a choice. There have been... The Army Corps of Engineers let out a lot of contracts for cleaning debris. I mean, we've had actually fairly good debris removal. There's been some money to go to schools, a little bit of money on the health care issue. And things are rebuilding back slowly. But the real problem is, no matter how much money you put into rebuilding particular industries or aspects of the economy, you have to have workers. And that's what we don't have. And that's what we would hope this Road Home money would do, make it possible for people, you know, for working poor and working middle-income people to get back into New Orleans, because you can't make the city work without people who can work. And that's really our long-term issue, I think.
Well, is this this block grant money, does it come every year, or is there an end to it?
As far as I know, it's only a single appropriation for this particular event. That's not to say there can't be more in the future, but...
So once this money is gone, conceivably, that's it.
I think so. I don't think there'd be a will in Congress to send billions more down if this part of it isn't spent correctly. And if we can't really show substantial progress in housing, basic housing for people, then the whole program has been a failure.
And if the only showing of housing progress is the tearing down of livable housing space, that's certainly not progress either.
I don't think it would be. And that really is the crucial thing that's going to decide about what kind of place New Orleans is going to be in the future, is can someone live here on, say, an income of $25,000, $30,000 a year? Before, that was possible. It might not have been totally pleasant, but you could do it. Now you can't. And if we can't get those folks back who are the real New Orleanians, the locals, the people who make the place what it is, then all this may have been a failure.
Judson, this is a final thought here. What is it like being in New Orleans now? What is the mood of the city?
Well, it's funny. I think that the city is sort of split in half. The northern half of the city was really, and the eastern part was heavily impacted by Katrina. And although it takes baby steps, you know, to rebuilding, there's still basically large neighborhoods that are uninhabited where there's debris everywhere and nothing going on. You can drive out to parts of the lower Ninth Ward, New Orleans East, and just see nothing. You know, there used to be houses there. Now there's some rubble and no people. Now, the neighborhoods that are towards the southern part of the town, near the river, things seem sort of back to normal. So, for example, if you come to New Orleans as a tourist, the places that you would remember look the same, basically, and things look okay. And you probably wouldn't see very much evidence now of Katrina having gone through, except for the fact that, you know, there are not a lot of workers. Dishwashers can make $25 an hour and some things like that are a little bit unusual. But otherwise, it's fine. So it's really, the city is split in half. Some of it is on racial lines, some of it's on economic lines, but not all of it, because there was a substantial part of northern Orleans Parish called Lakeview, which was totally demolished by the levee breach. It's actually where the levee breach was. And they haven't made very good steps to returning either. So the city is split in half.
And the movie that Spike Lee did for HBO, did that have any, what was the local impact of that?
Well, that was interesting because I think that a lot of the white population had a lot of trepidation about that movie and said, oh, it's just going to be more Spike released it, and it became, you know, our movie. In fact, the local cable company played it for free nonstop for like 5 days, and they showed it in the Superdome. And, you know, tens of thousands of people went to see it. So it did have an effect and brought people together to realize that this really is everybody's problem.
But now that the theater is shut and the lights are off, where do we go from here?
Well, you know, that's not clear. The fact of the matter is there's always going to be a New Orleans. There are people who are putting money into this town right now. There are people opening new businesses now. The situation is not as dire as it seems. However, what has made the city what it is its diversity in all aspects, income, race, you name it, we had it. And if we are unable to preserve that, or if there's a systematic plan to take that away, it's really going to change the character of the city. This city is very organic. It's very diverse, always has been. And hopefully, you know, we who live in New Orleans, what we like, we want it to stay that way.
Judson Mitchell, staff attorney for Loyola Law Clinic and editor for the website justiceforneworleans.org. Thank you so much for joining us from New Orleans this morning.
Thank you, Liz.
Take care. Listen, folks, we're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown, and this is the Wake Up Call. We have so much business to talk about, so much business to talk about. We'll be back after the break. Again, this is Liz Brown. Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves. Did I say that? Washer, dryer, refrigerator, stoves. Every single thing that you need to make your house a home. You need tools, they have them. If you need tractors, they have them. Leaf mulchers, they have them. Get on down to 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears. Tell them I told you to.
Connect Care. Still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down. That's 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
This is Esther Wright, General Manager of WGNU. I would like to take a moment to congratulate Liz Brown, winner of the 2006 award for Best Political Coverage Radio from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. Her discussion last January of the continued delay of government aid to victims of Hurricane Katrina is just another reason why we call it award-winning. Tune in weekday mornings at 6 a.m. to hear Liz Brown on the award-winning Wake Up Call, only on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Try to hurt you. I want you to know that I'm here for you forever too. Cause you're my bad brother, strong brother. There is no one above you. I want
Welcome. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get up. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about, and I have an opportunity for you. Calling all black-owned businesses. There is a Black Business Networking Forum tomorrow. Tomorrow at 4 to 8 p.m. at the Creative Image Social Hall. That's 6800 West Florissant. For more information, 381-5303. That's 381-5303. Look, they're going to really be talking about black businesses. Bring your business card. It's a forum geared towards serious black entrepreneurs who are trying to start a business, running a business, or who have owned a business and can share their knowledge. Come on out tomorrow, Thursday, from 4 to 8 p.m. And the address is 6800 West Florissant. The number is 381-5303. That's 381-5303 if you have more questions. But that's tomorrow. Calling all black-owned businesses, 1-877-920-WGNU. You are on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the Reverend.
Yes. Good morning.
Congratulations on your 206.
Thank you.
Radio Award again.
Thank you.
And may God continue to bless you. I just wanted to make a comment. I've been holding on quite a while. I've been listening to you this morning about the suicide among our African Americans.
Okay, you haven't been holding on since 7 o'clock.
No.
Okay.
I've been holding on since Attorney Mitchell.
Right.
And I wanted to get in on that. And I thank you both for covering Katrina and continuing to do that and keeping us aware of what's going on down there. But so far as the schools and children, this is what I say. They need, and we need to do this too, give our children exposure to good things. Take them places, good places. Spend some time with them. Check them out and see what they've been exposed to while they're at school. Question them. Ask them certain things. Because we're the one that's raising the children. They're not raising us. We're the one that's doing it. Take them to church. Show them things. Give them things that's going to build some and rule out self-esteem and put the good things of value in home life for them. Spend some time with them. Another thing about Katrina, or we call it that, but it was an act of God. And I know New Orleans is a traditional, it's been a traditional place, and people love to go down in there and things like that. But it's not going to be the same so far as people who have been living in poverty. They have to readjust to things. It's not going to be the same as where they were living. It may be even better, but they have to make the adjustment. So I think people...
But the challenge, Reverend, is this. The challenge is, sure, everybody should make an adjustment when tragedy strikes. Everybody has to make that adjustment.
Yes, ma'am.
However, what we have going on in New Orleans is people making money off of this tragedy at the expense of those least vulnerable.
Yes, ma'am.
It is not fair. It is not moral. It is not acceptable for tens of billions of dollars to be put into New Orleans, where 50% of it is supposed to go to tend to the needs and the issues of those most vulnerable, and instead this money ends up in the pockets of the profiteers.
Right. In other words, they're kicking the people who's already down.
That is correct.
And they're trying to get up.
That is correct.
So
yes, there has to be an adjustment, but the adjustment should not be I get to make $1 billion and you get bupkis.
That's right. That's right. I heard just one comment from Mrs. Bush when she went, I think she went down, I'm not sure.
She was at the Superdome in Houston, or Dallas, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and she said, and I quote this, she said, those people that's living beneath their privileges. Well, a lot of African Americans, and I'm one, and I have too. I was raised up in this city, and but I didn't turn out like my community would probably dictate that we should have been, but we rose up and was raised up.
Look, Mr. Sheen needs to, you know what? The fact of the matter is that you don't have to offer any explanation to Barbara Bush and her racist, classic assessment of looking people in the face and saying that they ain't nothing because I see the color of their skin. Mm-hmm. It was a racist statement, and shame on her, and nobody owes her an explanation for anything when somebody makes a racist statement like that. Shame on her. Period. Dot.
Yes.
All right, and I got to roll. Thank you, Rev. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Ms. Brown, thank you for your guest and to your previous caller. I was the one who told you, Ms. Brown, when she made that racist statement, she should turn in her Social Security check and go do some community service work.
You know what? I don't want her hands on anybody because I think that the fact of the matter, she's demonstrated that putting her in a place where she's supposed to be kind and fair and good, it ain't happening.
I got you, Ms. Brown. When she can still turn in that Social Security check, she don't need it. Anyway, Ms. Brown, I enjoyed your guest. I was wanting to get on your program. While you had him on to ask him, Ms. Brown, is there any way he can find out what happened to that money, Ms. Brown, to the singer used to advertise in your station? Where did all that money go to when he was advertising and sending money down there, Ms. Brown? You remember his name? What was his name, Ms. Brown, the singer?
Aaron Neville?
That's it, Ms. Brown. Remember Neville used to advertise sending money down there?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if he could get in touch with Neville. Can he get in touch with Neville to solve all that money with Ms. Brown?
I think that there needs to be an audit. I'm about to let you go because the line is really messing up. I think that there needs to be an audit of all the money that made it to New Orleans. Every single penny should be audited. How can you, the part of the conversation with Mr. Mitchell, the attorney from New Orleans, that was the most shaking to me, the most amazing to me, was the fact that you get a $500 million contract to provide dump trucks to haul away debris. And you don't even own a dump truck. That's an obscenity. When people criticize this country, and they criticize, when they talk about the politics of this country, and they criticize the politics of this country, and some people throw their hands up at the politics that's practiced in this country, that's an example of why people get so discouraged. That's an example of why people disconnect. That's why they're there. That's why so many people look at politicians as crooks. Because the person that nobody who has any sense of morality, has any sense of fairness, has any sense of honor, would say that the people's money is being well spent in handing $500 million. To a company to provide dump trucks, and that company doesn't even own a dump truck. You can't find somebody that has a dump truck to give this money to. And if that's the case, if you don't even have to own a dump truck to get a $500 million contract to provide dump trucks, then why didn't they hand it to a bunch of black folks? Why didn't they hand the money to a bunch of brown folks? Why weren't there opportunities for black-owned businesses? Or people know, because apparently you don't even have to have the business in order to get the money. Then why wasn't the money given to those in this country that have difficulty due to the racism that exists in this country and the opportunity that does not exist in this country of starting businesses? $500 million to provide dump trucks given to a company that didn't even own a dump truck. The name of the company is Ashbritt, A-S-H-B-R-I-T-T. They're right out of Florida. Oh, what are their connections? Well, they paid $40,000 to the lobbying firm of Barber, Griffin, and Rogers. Haley Barber. Who's he? The former national GOP chair. Haley Barber, isn't he the governor of a state somewhere? He also gave $50,000 to the National Republican Committee in 2004. Nice money if you can get it. Heck, I'd go find $50,000 to hand somebody if I thought I could get $500 million in return for it. 1-877-920-WGNU. Don.
Liz, this is Don Fitz with the Green Party.
Yes, Don.
I wanted to comment about your guest who was talking about Katrina, how money was going to work on homes that weren't even damaged.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have something in St. Louis that makes me think about that, where we have a lot of lead money. The city has $10 million in lead money, and we can't even find where that lead money is going. And we don't know if that lead money is being spent on homes. Well, we know that some of it's being spent on homes with lead poisoning, but we don't know if the money is being spent where the areas are that have the greatest amount of lead poisoned children.
Well, is there some kind of oversight to this money?
We wish there was.
And this is money that is being handled by Francis Slay.
It's by appointees of Francis Slay.
Well, that would make it Francis Slay.
That's right. We are having a program tonight to talk about lead poisoning. It's at Roosevelt High School. We're going to have Robin Wright Jones speak, who's a state representative from the 53rd District. Jim Shrewsbury, who sometimes is independent of Francis Slay, and we hope he is on this issue. And also Donna Jones, of course, a school board member who has a lot of interest in lead poisoning.
Well, she used to work with the lead poisoning program with Francis Slay before she got elected, and now after she got elected, she doesn't work for them anymore.
Absolutely. And so we're hoping that people can come out to Roosevelt High School. It's the program on lead poisoning is open to the community. It's at 6 p.m. If you're not familiar with Roosevelt, it's at 3230 Hartford in South City. It is in an area of the city that has some of the highest degree of lead poisoning in the city. The students there have been working on a contest that the Greens and Roosevelt have done together. The contest has been an art contest and an essay contest, and we're going to give cash awards to the students, and so the winners of the contest. So we hope that the people can come out
and support the students, if nothing else.
Support the students. Look for a vigorous change in city policy to really account for the lead money, where we don't really know where it's going.
Well, what role can the president of the Board of Aldermen play in this?
The Board of Aldermen could pass a law saying that the lead department, the Lead Safe St. Louis, would account for the money where it's being spent.
Why hasn't such a piece of legislation been introduced? Surely this isn't the first conversation, Don, that you have had with legislators about the fact that there's no oversight over this money?
It's sometimes very difficult to get in touch with members of the Board of Aldermen, more difficult, I would say, than getting in touch with state legislators. We are going to be working more vigorously. Well, we've actually been over the last couple of years trying to work with the Lead Safe St. Louis program and the health department in getting the information. And after bashing our head against the wall for a year, now we are going to start working with the Board of Aldermen.
So is Shrewsbury saying that he is going to introduce legislation?
We have not asked him yet.
Okay, I certainly would hope that you would ask him if that is what his intentions are, because that's one of the roles of the older people out there, right?
Absolutely.
All right.
Could I make a comment about Katrina?
Well, Don, we are coming to a break. I'll put you on hold.
Okay, great.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call. I'll be back in just a moment. Stay with me.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen, letting you know my show will be on every Thursday from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Yeah, I'll make you think. You may find yourself saying, oh my God, it burns, it burns. It only hurt for a minute. See you then.
Everything the engineer would move, one day the engineer wanted a bite to eat.
Here's this hour's WGNU Global News Update brought to you by Reasonable Construction. I'm Peyton Colston. In Los Angeles, Police Chief William Bratton is responding to two videotapes recently surfaced that show what appear to be controversial arrests by LAPD officers. Chief Bratton says while the videotapes of these incidents may look awful, the law has not been violated.
In the case of the Venice Beach incident, the district attorney has reviewed it and found no violation of law. In the case of the Hollywood incident, Mr. Cadenas, in the preliminary hearing, the finder of fact in that circumstance, the commissioner, the judge, also made a determination in very strong, articulated language, which you also have a copy of, that he could find no violations of law by the police officers.
The Venice Beach video shows an officer pepper spraying a suspect who's sitting in the back seat of a patrol car. In the second video, an officer seen punching a suspect 6 times with his knee on the man's neck. The suspect is heard telling the officers he cannot breathe. I'm Peyton Colston with this hour's WGNU Global News Update.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate. 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis.
Sponsored by Reasonable Construction. Stop putting it off.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
I ran away today. Ran from the noise. Ran away. Don't want to go back to that place, but don't have no choice. No way.
It out. Oh, my name is Liz Brown, and the number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget, one more time here, tomorrow from 4 to 8 p.m., the first networking forum for black-owned businesses. It's a forum that is geared towards serious black entrepreneurs who are trying to start a business, running a business, or who have owned a business. Look, they need conversations from all of you, input from all of you. Bring your business cards. That is tomorrow from 4 to 8 p.m. And the address is 6800 West Florissant. That's 2 blocks east of Jennings Station Road, next to the rallies. The number for more information is 381-5303. My name is Liz Brown. You know what? I'm also looking for, you know what, Proposition Funk. Looking for some folks interested in participating in the Wake Up Call band, Proposition Funk. You need to give me a call. You need to give me a call. Let me get back to this conversation that we are having about Katrina. Check this out. Circle B Enterprises was awarded $287 million in contracts for housing by FEMA. Circle B has never even been licensed to build homes in its own state of Georgia. They had filed for bankruptcy in 2003. The company doesn't even have a website. Foul, foul, and more foul. Don.
Liz, a caller just a few minutes ago referred to Katrina as an act of God, which I hear people doing all the time, and I think it's very important for us to be aware that Katrina was caused by ExxonMobil and the other oil companies, and we should not be blaming God for what the oil companies are doing.
How was Katrina caused by the oil companies?
We need to keep in mind that when Katrina was over the Gulf of Mexico, it was not nearly as severe as when it first started over the Gulf of Mexico. It was not nearly as severe as when it passed over the Gulf, and it became warmer and warm. It became more severe because of the warming of the Gulf waters. The warming of the Gulf waters is directly a result of global warming. One of the results of global warming is more severe hurricanes, more severe weather conditions. And the people, what we saw in New Orleans is what we're going to see all over the world, or what we are seeing all over the world, is people on coastal towns being hit by severe weather changes. And one of the ironies of Katrina is that this warming, which is caused largely by pollution, more than anything else by automobile exhaust, at the same time that there was no National Guard to come into New Orleans to help people out. Why was the National Guard absent? It was because they were off in Iraq making sure.
And I think that, and Don, I think that people, at least the people that I talk to, get that in terms of their, when people talk about Katrina, people understand largely that, you know what, this is the result of intentional acts. These are results of careless acts. These are acts this is the result of acts of greed. These are the results of acts of racism. All of those things. And I think that you make a good point in terms of the contribution the man had to the worse effect of Katrina.
It's not just man. It's the oil companies, it's the automobile companies,
mm-hmm.
it's those who destroy our mass transportation
right.
systems that force all of us to be at the mercy of the gas pump, when a whole lot of us would prefer to ride a bus or ride a train, but you can't get anywhere in St. Louis unless you own a car.
And when you look at the systems that have been built, the new Metrolink system, I marvel at going, when I get out to the county and I get out to the Clayton area near the Galleria, I look at their brand new lovely new Metrolink station, and there's nothing north. There is nothing, nothing north.
There's not a north-south metro line, but now we have two east-west metro lines.
There you go, to get people to ball games.
And everybody knows that an efficient mass transportation system needs to be one that gets people to and from work.
Unless you are not trying to move a certain population in the city of St. Louis.
And it also needs to be connected to an efficient bus line, where you take a bus to the train, get off the train where you go to, and then take another bus. In most European cities, you're no more than one or two blocks from a bus line that connects to a train that can get you anywhere you want to go. In St. Louis, unless you live by a metro line, you spend, I don't know, half an hour, 45 minutes if you want to connect with a bus to a metro line.
Thanks for your call, Don.
Okay, thanks, Liz.
1-877-920-WGNU. John.
Hello?
Yes.
I know this might be kind of off the subject, but you were talking about Alcee Hastings maybe being passed over for the Intelligence Committee.
That's correct.
Isn't there a question about ethics as far as he's concerned, and also MRSA about their having trouble with conflicts of interest and ethics charges against them?
That was
one of Pelosi's big things was, you know, they were going to, this corruption.
She said she was going to drain the swamp,
this culture
of corruption.
I mean, you know, I remember some of, you know, because he used to be a federal judge, right?
Right. And you know what? And I don't remember exactly what happened. I've had him on the show. It's been some years since I've had him on. The issue of why he's not a federal judge has nothing to do with corruption.
Okay.
It had to do with conflicts that between he and other decisions that he had made on the bench.
Okay.
So that people that were not popular, and I believe if my memory serves me correctly, John, and I'll have to go back and check on this, but I believe that it had something to do with race and the positions that he took.
Because I was listening to, in fact, it was on Al Franken, and they were talking about, Congressional Watch, and they had a person on there, and they were saying that
I know, I've had them on the show.
One of the things that the Republicans might be ready to jump on is if MRSA is the majority leader and Hastings is the intelligence chairman.
And I think that one of the things that Democrats need to not worry about is the Republicans talking about anybody insofar as corruption. Okay, I mean, you'd have to go a lot. You got to go pretty doggone deep to get somebody to compare to the corruption that has been engaged in by the Republican Party, and I guess that the thing of it is that I don't think that Murth is going to make it. It looks like the man that's running against him has the numbers to beat Murtha, but I'm more concerned with the absence of getting rid of a person of African descent to head a committee. That's a big deal. And I think that we should be bending over backwards in America to make certain that there are people of African descent representing
I'm talking to her.
I'm not talking to her.
That was the reason that there might have been a problem with Hastings.
I think that is a reason when you start hearing it on these white liberal types of shows, you're going to start hearing the drumbeat, you know, race trumps all, okay? And you're going to start hearing people planting the seed, floating the balloon out here of why this person is not really good enough for this nonsense. He is good enough for it. His record is no different and in many ways better than many that have come before him. So, no. The answer is no. He has done nothing that would say that he should not be in that position.
Okay.
And she said that she was basing it on seniority. And what is interesting to me is I saw a list last week, I think it was Wednesday, after the election, either Wednesday or Thursday, in the New York Times, they had photographs and little bios or little statements of the people that were based on seniority should be heading these powerful committees. And the only person that they said when they got to the end of it, Alcy Hastings was the last person listed, and they said Nancy Pelosi has the ability to appoint him or not. They didn't say that about anybody else. So they've been floating this out here.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
Thank you, John. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I will be back same time, same place. Tomorrow we have Eye on the Lou, and we have Justice for Reggie, and we have some more surprises waiting for you for tomorrow's show as well. So until then, thanks for listening, and stay strong.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel the brothers helping sisters.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created.